very, very proud that Sandeep indicated to me. For today, we were going to do minutes. We were going to do a report on our visit to TICS. We have all the raw information, except information that was outstanding from the team led by Nveni. I think they were looking at 8-hour matches, or I don't know who was looking, what they were looking at. But that isn't coming, so we really don't have any minutes to adopt. We don't have a report to adopt. What we need to discuss was going to be the report back on our visit to Mr. Maxi, the minority, because two of the three people here were part of that meeting, so that's how I was hoping that other members come, but we want to report back to you on our visit to Crawley. And talk to us about the amendment of our program for next week. I'm hoping that you'll agree with me that we can go next week. Next week we had initially proposed to have initial discussions around strat plan and so on. Our committee now reports very late in terms of the EPW, so we've decided that we will do that next term, which leaves us with an open day on Wednesday next week. However, at the same time, the NCOP have requested the department to come and brief them next week. So I think there's a tug of war between Cindy and Grant. Not Cindy and Grant, Cindy and Dixon. And my request, therefore, to this committee is that we afford the NCOP to be briefed by the department, because they were going to be split either between us and the NCOP. And therefore, this should be our last interaction for this week, for this term, if we agree that the NCOP is given an opportunity to interact with the department next week. Those are really the two things that are on there. So let's maybe start with that. Long way you were not in. Next week, we initially were going to look at the strat plan, because we anticipated that the department, as every other year, was normally first with its budget. We, towards the very end, so we pushed everything back to next term in terms of interaction of stakeholders and the department. So that must, next Wednesday was going to be free, the committee was going to be free. We then are in a war with the NCOP about who wants to see the department. I'm suggesting that we allow the NCOP to interact with the department, because we will also interact with the department next week. So I'm going to give it to the NCOP, which means today's our last business. I think that's the first proposal I want to put to the table, that we afford the NCOP an opportunity next week, and we don't have any business next week Wednesday. So that will be the change to our program. Is that a creature? Happiness, all right?
Happiness.
So we will then communicate with the department and to Gershwin that they can take that slot. Okay. So that's for next week's business. Secondly, I'm not sure where is Ngubendi. We're going to do the report on TICS, but we have not finalized it because we were waiting for input. We gave our input. I think Mr. Max's team gave their input. We were waiting for Ngubendi then to get that input. So we can't. We'll present that next week and the minutes next week. So there are no minutes. And then we were hoping to give a report back on our visit to Mr. Frolic. Three of the five are here. And we have the department in 5 minutes. So just for the information of Mr. Max and Mampalisa, we did go, as you guys instructed us, to see Mr. Frolic and herself, and Gwenya accompanied me so they can add. After our interaction with, I don't want to bore you with the details, but the long and short of it was that it became clear to me anyway that Mr. Chronic was indicating that we will not be allowed to go as a whole committee. There will probably be about 7 that will go, 3 ANC, 4 ANC and 3 of the opposition. That seems to be my understanding. The second thing, it's clear that Brazil, UK, Canada, Australia, no-goes. Whatever we do, those countries we cannot go and visit. One, because it's costly, but secondly, because the foreign missions in those countries are of the view that too many South African delegations are going there. So, and he made an undertaking to send us the focus areas and try and link that up to the focus areas, our business, and wherever we want to go to. We had, in that meeting, indicated to him that our overcrowding problem that we're all aware of, the alternate sentencing and rehab, and also the better utilization of JICs, or a better model of this JIC scheme that we have here, in other words, independence and other issues, were the issues that we had focused on, that we thought were the areas we want to focus on. Mr. Self has given us, and we had after that meeting, that we just look, if we agree that we look at those things, Mr. Self has suggested Germany and Denmark, and Cindy, I know, is looking at an African country. She had looked at Uganda and Zambia, but she hasn't got too much information. She is waiting for a bit more information on Uganda from Zambia. So those would be the three countries to date that we have, unless members have other ideas. But it will focus on JICs, it will focus on alternate sentencing, overcrowding, and rehab. And if we agree, then you can afford, send me an opportunity just to go into a bit more homework on one of those African countries. Because what we want to do is to submit an overseas country and an African country so that we can't be told later, no, overseas is too much. Come back. We're going to do both of them. And this is option one and this is option two. So that's the report back member that we received from Mr. Frolic, and we've acted upon it. I'm not sure, Mr. South, if you or Mr. Mwenya want to add to whatever it is, and or otherwise let's just comment on what we have, and if we're comfortable, we can give Cindy the go-ahead. Mwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Chairperson has said all except that what I need to add. He told us that he was promised that the whole committee will go, even if it's happening. And he also emphasized that we need to do it as soon as possible, because very soon they're going to say we are preparing for the election, therefore no committee is going to go. Another thing that I want to add is that we need to choose the date that we are in the recess. We mustn't choose the date that is going to set the program of the parliament, because they are not going to approve. And you also talk about the discipline, that what makes these other countries not want people from South Africa to come with a big group is the way our people doing. They don't behave well. In terms of the other committees that are going twice, he explained that it doesn't come from her office. Those people that are arranged by ambassadors of those countries is not a problem of his office. If we've got the proof that really there are committees that are given chance to go twice, then must provide that information to him. So that's what I want to add, Chairperson. Thank you.
I think when he has covered both of the things that I would have covered, just two other aspects. First of all, it's that pity some of the countries that are on the so-called prohibited list are on the prohibited list, because they would have provided, I think, very, very good models for us to have gone to look at. In particular, Canada, I mean, has this almost tailor-made system for us to learn from, but, you know, if we can't go, you can't go. The second thing that concerns me, that links in with what has already been said, and that is that if we are going to go, we're going to have to get that application in as soon as possible, because I think that by the time we get to the middle of the year, Parliament's not going to be approving any we're not meeting next week and we can't dispose of it today, then we must think of a way of disposing it in our essence so that the application can be submitted.
Really, so this has indicated to me that our application would be looking at a study tour on the 4th to the 8th of June, so it covers the earlier part of it. In terms of the decision, I'm sure we can send you email once and get further information. But I'm saying nobody seems to be deviating from an African country and either Germany or Denmark. So I'm saying we'd restrict you to those three and try to build a case around those in terms of our focus area. But as soon as I send you that information, my suggestion is that we must submit it as soon as possible. Even if it means I must send you guys a brief summary of why we're going to, where we're going to, and then submit that with the following for his consideration. What's the next?
Hey, I just want to, when you finish with this topic, okay. Something else.
So are we happy that we look at Denmark, we look at we look at Germany, and we look at an African country. Currently, the two that we've got information on are Zambia and Uganda. Cindy will do homework on those, and we will submit it on the basis of the strength of our information. Again, we're looking at models of jigs. We're looking at overcrowding. We're looking at alternative sentencing and rehabilitation as our motivation when we submit that. Are we comfortable with that approach? Thank you very much.
According to the research, South Africa has a high population improvement. So I'm not even comparing in Africa. If we're going to one of the African countries, what are we going to learn from them? Because how do you come and learn from us? In the world, we're number 9. So I'm not sure if we're saying we're going to one of the African countries, what would be learning.
Our motivation was to learn why they don't have such a high overcrowding. I mean, the fact that we've got the highest means that we are the worst performing. So we want to go to a country that is better performing than us in terms of overcrowding. I think that would be our motivation. I can't see somebody come to learn about overcrowding in South Africa because we're just the worst people in terms of managing overcrowding. But it's not only overcrowding in Ngobeni, it's also about alternative to rehab and jigs. We were not here earlier on, we were informed that we can't go to overseas, as you know, which is still out of the question. We're not going to get it. So we're looking at Germany, Denmark, and or an African country. And we're looking at, depending on the information, it'll be one of those three areas. If, for instance, Germany is very good at overcrowding, we might motivate it. If Africa is very good at alternative instances, so it's not just overcrowding. But we're hoping that Cindy can motivate for us. I mean, the intention is for us to go learn somewhere. I think that is the intention. Unless we're saying we postpone it for next term. When I say next term, perform it for the next term of things. Because we are not going to go to Cuba. We're not going to go to Canada. We're not going to go to the UK. We're not going to go to Australia. And we're not going to go to Brazil. Those are the ones that have the best for our problem. But we're just not going there. So the decision we need to take, if we can't go to the best models in the world, do we want to go at all? That's the decision we have to take. And we are suggesting that let us at least go to these. They might not be the best, but let's go to them. Mr. Abraham?
Yeah, I think earlier you said that we cannot go to certain countries. My problem is, whose decision was that? Who decides that we shall not go to certain countries? Who decides that certain countries are taboo for you? That's my problem. Because, you see, I've learned over the years, okay, certain individuals access certain offers, decide for others without any real consultation. I've heard stories that know that certain countries has been a tempest on South Africans. But Jefferson, we are going for a specialized tour. Not a tour, it's actually whatever it is, we are going there to go to work. We are not going there on a holiday. And if we cannot go to the best chair, we should be given real acceptable reasons. Sometimes I also ask, have those countries given it to you in writing that, listen guys, you don't want to hear. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yeah, those countries have given it to us in writing, according to our meeting with Mr. Frolic, and a decision, either a joint decision between the foreign officers in those countries, together with the speaker. And so in other words, the powers that he has taken that decision, being the speaker and the foreign officers. And the reason that you alluded to are the reasons that they're given. There's a stampede that sometimes people go, they hardly do the business of the day and do something else. And if they go, they spend 1 hour in a meeting and that. So we are not going to win this argument. Let's put it that way. We are not going to win this argument. So we agreed on those. Can we agree then, so that Cindy can prepare, the delegation is, I don't know how we normally do that, but what I do know is that the chair said 4 ANC and 3 opposition members. So when Cindy does the planning in our absence, we must at least have those names. Now, I don't know how we want to do that. Our opposition, and also let us indicate that Mr. Frolic indicated that we, it's up to us in terms of, let's talk about the opposition, for instance, because strictly speaking, all opposition parties can come. But I would have a problem if we said that the Freedom Front must go, for instance, because they don't serve in the committee, although they've got a legitimate right to go. Really, there are 3 parties, I think, COPE, IFP, and DA, as the opposition party that participates. So those parties would have to give us 3 names, part of those 4. Mangwela, you're going to have to find, I don't know how you're going to agree, but you're going to have to find a way of giving us 4 names from the ANC side. Because when Cindy does the application, she would have to indicate that this is the country, this is the number of delegates, and hopefully, if it's approved, she can then contact those individuals for their visas, passports, or whatever the case might be. I'm not sure, because ANC is probably easier. You'll have to find a way of giving that to us, Mangwela, within the next few days. Mr. Self, Mr. Max, I don't see your colleagues here, but I don't know who you want to give the responsibility to. Can you guys come up with 3 names for us? I don't know how you're going to work it out amongst yourselves, but I think we are saying in principle that it's going to have to be the 2 of you, Ndlovu and Ngubeni. Not Ngubeni, I think you'll find Nguni. Of those 4, because those are the 4 opposition parties, that are opposition party warm bodies that participate. So you guys have to come up with 3 names of those 4 names, and if you submit that to Cindy, and Mabwene, you submit your own names to Cindy, as we do the applications, we will use those names and do the necessary. Mr. Sal, then Mr. Mabwene, then Mr. Mabwene, and then Mr. Mabwene can come with your point.
You said we were looking at, I think you said the 4th to 8th or something in June. How sure are we? Because obviously if we are getting names, then we've got to look at commitments over that period.
The 4th to the 8th of June is in line with what Mangwene was saying. It's during our recess. So we can only look at recess period. During recess? No. Oh, we do that during the committee club when there's no plenary. Because our problem with Mr. Frolic was that if the house is sitting, we're not going to get it. So this is a time where there's no house sitting. We must agree. If we agree that that is the time, then maybe we should ask those members to at least temporarily block it off until we get an indication, and then we can reuse it. But it's committee week anyway. So whether we win or lose, we're going to be together. Is there any opposition to those dates of that week of the 4th on today? So if you have any opposition to the date, we will then work on those dates. All right. And you guys come back to us. Mr. Max, do you want to indicate something?
Yeah. Chairperson, yes. I don't know whether the committee is aware or you are personally aware of the suspension of 99 members in Auckland on the 3rd of March. The reason why they were suspended is that there's regular savings in St. Albans to the extent that the members, as a result of the shift system. So the members requested a meeting with the regional commissioner, Mr. Blackness. He mandated the area commissioner, according to the information at my disposal, to meet with the warders. He refused to go to the warders to meet with them, and the warders went to him. And because they went to him, it's about 150, they were then suspended. 99 of them were identified and suspended. There are huge audience now of personnel at Melbourne's correctional centre. Do they have seen that they imported now from other regions personnel to Auckland? That's the information that I got. But they realise that it's not going to last because it's a very costly exercise. They have to pay S&T and, you know, transport and all these things. And they are busy now, in terms of the information which I received this morning, with reinstatement letters now, because they can't manage the situation at the office. So, it seems that, you know, the biggest problem in correctional services is not necessarily, in my view, the budget per se, but how it's been utilized and the management of your staff. The total management of correctional service can be prevented. We sit with St. Albans, we sit with Tormey, we sit with Kimberley, and there's other places as well. So I just want to know, and on the topic of all this labor relations issues, we were informed on the 27th of February that there's a special task team being established. Which report, which is going to address all these issues of shortages and blah, 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 as well as the 2008, the salary groupings, the OSB thing. And that report was due on the 15th of March to management, to be submitted to management from the task team. So I just want to refresh your memory with regards to that, but I just want to know, because it's a serious situation in St. Albans, and I want to know whether you were informed personally and whether there's information with regards to that. If not, I would suggest that we request a proper report of what is going on at St. Albans at the moment. Thank you, sir.
No, I've not been informed, but here today, I don't think we need to request. Let them raise it.
What
is it? Okay. Yeah, when they hear that, raise it on the basis of their responses. I think the HR guy is here, the accounting office, all those people that take decisions are here, so we will afford you an opportunity to raise it as soon as they arrive. Just the final thing, the report on our unannounced logistics, Mangubeni, is outstanding your group's observations. Now, you did give it to us verbally, since he had not been able to capture it. Are you guys able to put some of your observations on a piece of paper so that it can include it in the report? Otherwise, our report will go without the observation. If you recall, we discussed this last week or 2 weeks ago when we were there, just asking for that to be put in writing if there are some that you really want to put in the report. And once Cindy has that, she will include that in the report and we'll adopt our unannounced position at the first meeting together, Roman. Is that okay? Thank you. You can just open that to Cindy. All right. Having done that, members, then we are ready to see DCS. And our agenda you probably have would be the known operations and then the outstanding matters service level agreement with DPW, progress on the nutrition program, yes, security fencing program, IDT DCS service level, and outcome of investigations on serious matters for 2012, 2013. That was the other business that we're going to look at. So that's really our program. So for the first hour and a half, it's the operations, and thereafter we will deal with any outstanding matters so that we are able to conclude our business for this term. I'm not sure if you guys want a 2 minute break or can you just call the department immediately? Call them. Thanks. We're waiting just in terms of our program. The first few interactions that we have in next term are focused really on BRR threat plan and budget. I think for the first week, and that's the parliamentary program. So our first 2 weeks next term is stakeholder interaction, it's interaction with the department, interaction with everybody on their budget and their BRR. Until after the EPWs, then we'll get back to our normal business. We will submit that program to you guys. But the first few weeks, we don't have too much breathing space. Parliament has dedicated those. weeks to preparation for budget or EPW, ECC is what they call it. Good morning, and welcome to our colleagues in DCS. As is common practice, we are long gone from introducing, because we know each other, so we're not going to ask to introduce, but I want to raise this one issue. Mr. Smallberger, we received your letter indicating that the commissioner is on business in Zambia and you're leading the delegation, and I think that's fine from the commissioner's side. But we've not received a reason why the CEO is not here. So when you open, you must talk to us about that. Because the delegation, as we have it, is the commissioner isn't here, it's been led by Mr. Smallberger. The CEO isn't here, we have an acting COO. The CFO, we know, is in the process of being advertised and filled, but we have an acting COO, the CFO. We have an acting CDC threat management. We have an acting DC executive management. Of the 10 people that are here, 50% of them are acting. Yeah. Of the 10 people that we've been, or we were given, besides Mbambo, because Mbambo is part of the family, so I'm not including him as part of the delegation, because him and Grant are part of the family, but of the other 10 that are here, 50% are acting. I'm raising this, Mr. Smallberger, because when we took the decision as a committee that we were to meet quarterly, what we did say was that our quarterly meetings on finance and our quarterly meetings on operations, if everything else fails, those cannot fail. If every other meeting of ours fails, those cannot fail. Our interaction last week with COPA re-emphasized the fact in the presence of the minister, for those of you that were not there, that these quarterly in-year interactions are probably more, in fact, it was the minister that said, why do we have to come 18 months after the process and get beaten up when it was the responsibility of somebody else. Can't we find a mechanism 18 years after democracy that we deal with matters when the people are there? That was the minister's request. And to me that meant, Rangwena, that our quarterly are more important than SCOPA report, because that's when we deal with the people who were there at the time. So I want to reiterate, Mr. Skorbaka, we understand that there are sometimes matters that you just have to be excused. But we can't have 50% acting people in what is probably the most important meeting, because 50% of MPs absented themselves when you had to approve your budget. There will be a big uproar in South Africa. There will be a big uproar in South Africa that Parliament didn't correct to approve the budget of the country. That's what it would mean. And I don't think that our members are quite happy that we have a situation where when we call you for an important meeting, 50% of the people are going to probably not be able to post when it happens. We'll beat up Ms. Mareka now, and if somebody else becomes the CFO, he or she's going to say, no, but it was in Mareka's time. We can't have that. We cannot have that type of situation. So please talk to us about the system and why don't we have apologies from the COO. At least if the National Commission is not here, we'd expect that the second in charge, which is the COO, should be here. But if they both are here, you're forcing us to do what other committees do that we're not going to do, but send you home. Other committees send you home. I think we didn't within our rights to say, no, go home, because you're not taking us here. So, please talk to us about that. As I think we've received and we've accepted Mr. Oyane's apology, but the others, please talk to us about. And then you can get directly to the business of doing your presentation, after which members will then interact for about an hour. Then we want to deal with matters that you have been informed about. DPWDCS service level agreement. We want to talk briefly on the where are you with the nutrition program. We want to talk you to talk to us about SA fencing and the IDP relationships that you have, the service level agreement or memorandum of understanding, whatever it is, your contractual obligations, what they're doing and so on, and then talk to us about investigations of serious offences that have taken place that Cindy has given you, and then we want to wrap up our business by affording, and I'm warning you so that you can prepare for it, but affording you an opportunity to talk to us about what is transpiring in St. Albans, Mr. McQuinn. We had a report about suspensions and reinstatements, but before you do, because Mr. Matt has got more info than all of us, he will present and you, I'm pre-warning you that you're going to have to give us some sort of a report. If you don't know about it, you'll have to find a way of responding to what's happening in St. Albans, because just before you walked in the committee, but it's a serious enough matter for us to render directly with what's happening in St. Albans. And then finally to Ms. Britta, we want you to talk to us about Amos Tendelise Mube. We'll give you the letter that is going out. She wrote to us she's been in a waiting trial for or remand detention for 7 years at St. Albans. I mean at Johannesburg. She was arrested with a few others. All those have been either granted bail or are out of the system, but she's there for 7 years, and the next of kin have come to me and asked me to raise the question with you. We also have a Vicus Petorius in Hoxton. And you've received that correspondence, so somebody must just give us an update on that one. Because Petorius in Cockstead, his beard was shaved, according to him, and it was against his religion, and he's not been doing toilet paper, and all sorts of things that we've asked. I'm raising it, Mr. Smallberger, because we wrote directly to Mr. Nwele in KZN. and ask him to give us a response. Today we've not received an acknowledgement or a response or anything. And we think that is unacceptable. And Mr. Yeah, so it was sent from the committee as a committee, and it was sent from individual members, and we just not received any responses on it. So on those two matters, those specific standalone what you talked about on that. Over to you, Mr. Swoboda. I'm not sure if you've got any good, I think that's legal involved. Okay, we will allow you to introduce yourself. I'm sure you know these colleagues in front of you. You'll introduce yourselves. We'll also introduce ourselves as members of Parliament just so that we know who you are. So that when we talk to you, at the same instance, that you'll know who you are. Maybe we should start with ourselves and then we'll introduce yourself later. We have asked you to come to these inactions to participate. That Mube, one instance, has a legal aid representative. So as Ms. Britta Rothman answers, we'd expect you also to answer. Because according to her letter, she has legal aid assistance. And it's 7 years that she's in that facility. It's probably a shock to you. You'll get a letter. In fact, we've drafted a letter to legal aid. We've drafted a letter to the minister. So you'll get a sense of the frustration that we have. My name is Vincent Smith. I chair the committee. We'll go to Cindy and we'll allow other members to introduce themselves. And then we'll hand over to you and after you to Mr. Mm-hmm. Collover.
My name is Emily Palliser, committee member.
My name is Britton Ubedina Ruteka, committee member.
I'm James Cook, member of the committee.
I'm Leonard Max, member of the committee.
Lynn Wayne, member of the committee.
Salam Abraham, Shokhev Jogo of the committee.
Vusaleno Makakula. Vincent
Makabula,
member of the committee.
Mr. Ndlovu from the IFP will join us later. He's not here. And we've got an apology from the committee. Mr. Pele he's apologizing with another member. And then there's a Mr. Nguni from CO. We haven't received an apology, so that makes up our compliment. So other than the names that you have here, there will be Ndlovu, there will be Nguni, and there will be Pele. Hand over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jonathan. Once again, thank you for the invitation. We appreciate the opportunity to participate in the deliberations of this committee. My name is Brian Dyer. I'm from the Legal Aid Board. I'm the National Operations Director. Together with me on my left is Ms. Wilna Lambie. She's heading our Kaohsiung region. And on my right is Cordelia Robertson, who's heading the Western Cape region. And also joining us today is our board member, Ms. Marcella Heidel. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, once more, Chairperson and honourable members of Parliament and other attendees. Chair, firstly, I want to appreciate the fact that you raised the matter of the National Commissioner who's not here. I just for our sake that South Africa is the AFSA Chairperson for the coming year, and this meeting was arranged prior, and we appreciate if you and the committee accept the National Commissioner's apology for not being able to be here. And as you indicated, Chairperson, I will lead the delegation in this session. Chair, in terms of the COO, I want also to tender sincere apology for her. During December, when the other colleagues had some time off, she was holding the fort and was on duty, and her leave was scheduled for this period, and she's unfortunately currently on leave, Chairperson. And Mudise is currently acting in her position. Chair, in terms of the other vacancies and actings, I think it will be important to say that, as you mentioned briefly, that the positions of CFO as well as CDC strategic management were advertised late last year, and those processes for their appointments are currently ongoing, and we hope that they will be filled sooner than later. Chair, in the other acting that you have said is caused by the acting, for example, the acting executive manager in the National Commissioner's Office is due to the fact that Mr. Adoropa is currently acting. Chair, I want to apologize for the situation, but want to emphasize, Chair, that the department is taking the court reviews very, very serious. And in terms of our meetings after the quarter, we involve the high level of management in the department.
And during those sessions, as Mr. Asaroff will present, you will see that we engaged and everybody of the executive attended that meeting, where we are taking this very seriously and make sure that the area that we as the department identify as not performing on the required level, we highlight those areas. We expect the relevant branch heads to make sure that they are putting action plans in place to make sure that we are catching up on those areas where we might be lacking behind in terms of the indicators in the annual performance plan. Chair, I want to assure the committee that the fact that the National Commissioner and the CEO is not here, that we will respond to questions to the best of our ability. And you will see, therefore, all the other branches are presented here. And we want really to tender our sincere apology for those who are not here, meaning the Commissioner and COO. Chair, and we also understand and appreciate also the sincerity of the committee in dealing with the quarter reports, because what you said in terms of the Minister's comment last week, we agree that it's very appropriate that we are dealing with the matter while people are there and not dealing with situations long after the time. Chair, we are ready with the presentation, and also we appreciate your comments referring to the matter of St. Albans, the Couturier's case, as well as the female that the colleagues will be in a position to report some progress, and if not, we will ask in the meantime that they try to obtain so that we can keep you abreast with developments, as well as to show that we are on top of things and that we are not taking those things for granted and that we are taking our responsibility with seriousness. Okay, with those few comments, I want to request the indulgence that we request the acting CDC strategic management to take us through a high-level presentation in terms of the quarterly review. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. I will be doing a presentation of our third quarter report. But before I get into the report, I just need to give a short analysis in terms of where we're sitting as an organization with regards to performance information. I think for the past couple of years, we've been struggling with our planning, our reporting, and our monitoring, which eventually led to a number of audit queries and dissatisfaction from the part of the Auditor General, the committee. We'll be having this juncture between our annual performance plan, our strategic plans, and our operational plans. So we have started a mission to work towards improving our planning process, our reporting process. So during the midterm review, which actually led to the quarterly review analysis, we have taken into consideration the issues and the concerns raised by the Auditor General in terms of the way in which we do planning, reporting, monitoring, and evaluation. And we have factored those concerns in our new plan, which we'll be presenting to the Portfolio Committee, which is going to be soon. But during the analysis of the third quarter, we have actually identified those key issues that the AG and other stakeholders, including the Portfolio Committee, have been raising about our level of planning and reporting. So in this high-level presentation, I will be able to share with members of the committee those key issues that we have picked up from the Auditor General and the way in which we are going to be able to deal with it. As I said, the AG has indicated a lot of issues with regard to the way in which we as department were not complying. Under planning, there has always been non-alignment between the performance indicators and the targets, and non-alignment of the strategic plan indicators with the reports that are sitting in the APPs. There's always been poor operational planning, non-alignment of operational plans with the APPs, lack of relationship between plans, targets, and activities. And also we picked up that corrective measures which were recommended during the analysis were not implemented. So these are the key issues that we as an organization want to start are working on them and improving them going forward. And you will see in our next plan, 13-14, operational and strategic operational resource APP, we've actually addressed these issues. In terms of monitoring and reporting, we've always had problems in terms of incorrectly calculating our targets, the discrepancy between the year-to-date in our quarterly report and annual report, the inconsistency between the quarterly report, the indicators and targets whereby actual performance reports are incomplete or not based on the measurement criteria of the indicator. The actual figures reported were probably the same as the figure for the plan target, which doesn't give you a clear indication as to what exactly you want to achieve per specific area. The issue also raised by the AG in terms of the monitoring and reporting is that we have less quality performance reports, inconsistencies in calculating methods during the reporting period, the failure to understand our variable data, the indicators that we set ourselves, we are in a position where we're unable to actually explain what those indicators meant. Submissions of performance reports will always be less valued by the information owners, and our regions will submit reports late, which obviously compromise the quality of information and the information channels. In terms of evaluation of our performance information, we say that policy says we have to comply with planning and reporting procedure. And then, in our case, we have a problem of lack of performance information ownership and a negation in submission on operational plans and the question of complexity of information which is submitted. We had a problem because planning at some point was taken to somewhere else and managers were actually not part and parcel of the planning process. I'm basing these things because on a continuous basis, we've been getting negative audit reports on our information management and information performance, precisely because of our own doing. The way in which we've been planning, the way in which we've been monitoring and reporting our vertical work. And we're saying we've identified this weakness, and going forward, we want to improve it. And unfortunately, in terms of process, it is rather very difficult to improve the planning which is already approved by Parliament during the period in which we are implementing the plan. Hence, I'm saying that these issues that we have picked up and have considered, we are correcting them in our next financial year APP. Okay, other issues that were raised and that we're also worried about the operational plans. Operational plans normally take place after we have created or developed the annual performance plan. The issues raised there is that our targets are not aligned to indicators. The number of percentages used to report qualitative indicators, a national target that is not aligned with regional targets, which obviously would give you wrong calculation of figures. Targets provided for regions cannot add international targets, inconsistencies in setting regional targets, and regional targets set not set on monthly basis. Separate targets sometimes are met together, quarterly targets are not aligned with annual targets. Activities provided not sufficient to demonstrate how the target will be met. In terms of monthly reports, we had very interesting observations that we had incorrect templates used by various business units and regions. We had your normal cut and paste information for previous financial year and omissions. Long surveys are provided instead of clearly stating all achievements. And then output reading differently from those in the current APP, and clear percentage of calculations misaligned actual performance information to plan trackers. The underlying principles that we used in the quarterly report were that performance is represented as indicated and submitted by the French. So what you give us is what you analyze and what we give you. Representation of performance is based on promised or planned level of achievement at end of quarter three. No subjective interpretation. So what we get as I'm saying is what we analyze. Percentage does not seek to represent value or weighted performance achieved, but compared to actual planned targets. In cases when reports are not attached, that is the target that is supplanted and not achieved. Where about again the target inaccurate or misaligned is considered also not achieved. Where report against target gives some work done towards the target that is represented as work in progress, and there we consider it as not achieved. So I'm raising these issues as an honorable member of the committee precisely to say that as management we went through an introspection. We looked at ourselves, we looked at the organization, and we said if really we want to make the most meaningful contribution to this organization and to the country, we need to start doing things right. We acknowledge that our previous trip has happened. And we're saying based on this information that we get, we have to start from the beginning and start doing things right. So the result of this self-introspection is what led to the development of the current plans that we have, that we are confident that they will be in line with what the treasury requirements are as of training everybody. Now, this is a high-level analysis of the targets that we have set ourselves on quarter three. We have divided that into the five pilot programs that we have, and we'll also indicate the sub-program under each pilot program. First program is administration. Under administration of management, finance, and corporate services. For quarter three, under management, we had four targets that were achieved. Eight of them were not achieved. In progress were four, and the one that was not reported was only one. Under finance, we have achieved two, and one was not achieved. Under corporate services, we have achieved two, six were not achieved. Those that were in progress is six. So in total, we have one target that was not achieved. In progress were 10, and those that were not achieved is 15. And only eight were achieved for quarter three. The next budget program is incarceration. And in incarceration, we have security operations, facilities, remand detention, as well as offender management. And out of that, security operations, we had five targets that were not reported on, four were not achieved, and only two were achieved. Facilities, we had one in progress, six were not achieved, and only two were achieved. Remand detention, one in progress, one not achieved, and two achieved. Under offender management, two were not reported on, two were in progress, one...
Somebody wants to explain to the committee why we've not got this document.
Okay, I think this is an analysis, the quarter three report is submitted. It's in a template that has details of each and every target that we have done. So what we did, an issue on our side. We quickly did an analysis, and we thought that we can summarize this analysis based on, because this is actually reading what is contained in the quarter three template.
Thank you, Mabunya. Yes, Chairperson, I
accept explanation, but if we really want us to engage in communication deeply, we're supposed to have this document. For now, while we're going to listen, but we're not going to interact as effectively as we're supposed to.
We have the quarterly report, the detailed report is it. So we can, and members have copies of and had it, and have had access to copies of the detailed report. We can either look at the detailed report and ask them to cease presenting this report and we deal with the detailed report if that's going to make you comfortable. Or we can continue. My understanding is that this is trying to summarize what's in the detailed report. So this is a high-level summary of what's in the detailed report, so we can still deal with the detailed report and ignore all that. For those that might not have had an opportunity can use this and the detailed report. I think it's not defeating the objective. But I think the point, Mr. Asaroke, is that members want to have some of these things because they're not as clued up as we guys are. But another danger that I think I'm afraid to members, maybe not to you, is that when the department comes and summarizes, in all likelihood they're going to give us what they want us to hear and hide the other stuff. Because I'm not going to summarize something that is going to show my weaknesses. So I'm saying as you engage with the executive summary, don't lose sight of the detail in the other report, because this is a classic way of saying let's push you to a certain direction and forget about something else. So we'll allow you, Mr. Asaroke, to conclude. I'm saying to members, take this, take your own document, and then we can have an engagement on it. But I think to take the point that even this document in future will give us sufficient time. Do you want to talk to Mr. Chairperson,
that's exactly what Honorable Ngwenya is trying to contact. To give us this summary in the presentation that she has to write us, so that we can also marry what is said there and what is in our documents. This is a very skimpy way, of redirecting our focus. And it is unacceptable, although it looks like it is a good thing to do, but it is very unacceptable to us. We can't have this kind of presentation somehow. Yes, we do have it. But to do it to us like this, it's taking us for granted. And that's why Honorable Ngwenya is complaining. We can't accept it.
All right. And there's a feeling that we can't, because it's a self has in your hand. Basically, I remember saying let's reach this and get straight into the report that you got. Is that what members are saying?
Yeah.
What's the stop?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we can do this, but I mean, the value of this shows where the weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
So one can drill down into those areas within the quarterly report. I mean, and quite frankly, I was encouraged by the frankness of the introspection that has taken place about. Because we always complain as a committee that there's there's non-alignment between the strategic objectives, the strat plan, and the APT, for example. It's been a continuous complaint of this committee over many years. Now, maybe this should have been available earlier, but I would argue let's just finish the presentation, and then we can get stuck into the details of the matter.
How much more, how many more slides do you have? Just as before I allow you to continue.
I think it's less than 10 slides.
Okay, zero.
So less than 5, sorry.
Less than 5, zero. Right. We have asked the PLO to give us copies of this very slide we're talking about. Oh, yeah, it is. We would want copies of this slide as soon as possible. It hasn't come to them, they have agreed to it all under documents. There's only 5 slides to go. We have received the detailed copy. Can I compromise? I don't want us to be setting up on our thoughts, but we allow them to do this. If you feel that you don't want to use this information and use the detailed information, that's fine. But I think the point is members are saying, please give us the information. I'm just really fighting about whether we must continue or not continue. But if members feel strongly that take it off and let's get directly to the meeting, I'll be guided by you. Member, if I've seen you wanted to talk to this, do we continue? Don't we continue? There's 5 slides left, according to Mr. Asaroke.
We have covered
with
children because we are going to get it, but in future it must not happen
again. All right. Thanks, Mr. Asaroke.
Thank you, Chair, and I really want to apologize to members of the committee. I think in our next engagement, we make sure that, because we'll continuously do this analysis, and we make sure that we present it in time. I was on the incarceration. I was basically under my attention to say that we have one target that is in progress, one not achieved, and two urgent. And under offense management, we have got two that are not reported on, two in progress, one not achieved, and three achieved. So in total, for this program, we have seven targets that are not reported on, four that are in progress, 12 that are achieved, and nine that are achieved. Under rehabilitation, we do have correctional programs. We've got offender development, we've got psychological, spiritual, and social services. Then under this, for correctional programs, we had two targets, one not achieved and one achieved. And then under offender development, we have one in progress, nine were not achieved, and seven were achieved. And under psychological, spiritual services, we had one in progress and two achieved. So in total, we had two targets that are in progress during this period, 10 that were not achieved, and 10 were achieved. And the next program is care, chairperson and honorable members of the committee. And then under care, we have health services, hygiene, and care. Under health services, we have five targets that were met during quarter three. Under hygiene, only one that was not achieved. Under care, one was not achieved, but five were achieved. Social reintegration. Under social reintegration, we've got parole administration. Four targets that were set were achieved. And supervision, we had three targets that were set that are in progress, and one was achieved. And then we've got community reintegration. Only one target that was set and was not achieved. And then we've got office administration. One target was in progress during that program. So the whole program, we had four targets that are in under progress, one not achieved, and five achieved. So in total, honorable chairman and honorable members, the organizational performance for quarter three, we had this wheel of performance, which really tells us that we have only achieved 34% of our target, and 7% were not achieved, 20% during the reporting period were still in progress, and 9% of those targets were not reported. I thank you.
Anybody else want to add before we open up to members for interaction? Anybody? Yes, Mr. Smolaga.
Chair, thank you. Tim, safe to say that what we have tried to do with this slide of this presentation was really to open up in terms of our own analysis and share that up front with the committee, because I want also to apologize for not disturbing this in advance, but if this is helpful, I think this will, for the future quarters, be submitted together with the detailed report. Because if you look at the detailed report, you know, there's so many figures, and this at least gives you a high level that will hopefully assist the committee to focus on, let me say, the red areas where there's not achievement. Just those that if you're responsible, for example, for K, you can exactly see which target achieved and what not. So dear, please accept our sincere apology for not distributing this high level presentation. But I think, Jay, you will, and I hope the committee will agree that this is also a document where we analyze ourselves, where a form of self-acknowledgement, as well as a detailed analysis of our own shortcomings. In other words, if we know where are the areas, then obviously we can focus on those areas, and we can then be in a position to provide, in this interaction, also to the committee, progress, as well as the areas that we identified. Chair, in this regard, I just want again to apologize for not distributing that part. Thank you, Chair.
Apology, I think, is accepted. Let's open up for members. Are there any specifics that members would want to raise on the quarterly report? And we ask the department to respond. Any specific, Mr. Fowler?
Sure. Yeah. I understand that we now are going to look at the products themselves, or are we going to just deal with this report?
No, we're dealing with everything. The target, this report, in layman's language, we want to know what you've done with the money we've given you for that quarter. Everything that all the hopefully will empower us to ask those questions.
Can I go? Can you just bring back the slides that deal with rehabilitation? Because that is the most shocking of the lot, actually. Because 10 targets were not achieved, 10 were achieved, 2 are in progress. Likewise, offender management, 9 out of whatever it is, I can't remember at the bottom. 9 not achieved, 7 only 7 achieved, 1 in progress. I mean, this is the heart of the operation of the department. I mean, if you want to get to a situation where you rehabilitate offenders, this is where most of the problems presumably lie. And I'd like to know, because when I looked at the quarterly report, some of the corrective steps are a little bit opaque, excuse me saying so. I mean, they're not immediately apparent to me what exactly the words mean. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to know that just in terms of offender development and rehabilitation, what exactly are the corrective steps that are being taken. The second thing is that it's an ongoing problem that I always have with the reporting. I don't always know what, for example, let's take social work services provided to offenders, and there's a figure, but 50% of offenders, or 50-point-something% of offenders, are exposed to social work services. What does that mean? Does that mean that they get once a year, or once a month, or once a week? What does it actually mean? Because the figures themselves, I think, don't always speak to the quality of the intervention. And what we would want to know, I think, is in terms of that, if you've got a social work service, if you've got a psychological service, if you've got a spiritual care service, all the other things that go into offender development and rehabilitation, what is it that we're talking about? On this subject, too, I'm very, very disturbed, because we had an interaction, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, about a year ago, with Mr. Jarin Vaughan, about the school facilities and the targets that were going to be set per month, as I recollect, they were going to be schools open. Now, I can refer you to, I think it's page numbers, number of new or upgrade schools and construction and facilities, targets per year, 1-3 new or upgraded school facilities completed, third quarter achievements, well, 2-2 have been completed in some rounds for the series, 1 under construction, Saline, and 1 store. Benefits that the ECW has imposed penalties and so on. So, it again comes back to the thing. It's one thing to have the facilities, even if the facilities seem in my interpretation to be lagging behind in terms of the ambitious target. What we would also want to know is how many people are benefiting. Are there educators in place? In other words, it's one thing to have a facility. Are they being used? Is there an output? So, Chair, I'm a little bit concerned, and in context of the point you said, you can lose, in the high-level presentation, you can lose the quality of the detail. And I'd like some reaction from the department. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any additional questions from anybody on anything and everything we have for us? What we're looking at is Mr. Abram, and then we'll allow the department to respond.
Chairperson, naturally one is extremely disappointed at the lack of achievement in several key performance areas. Now, Chairperson, I have a lot of empathy for some of the officials. Unfortunately, they are thrown at the deep end, and they've got to manage something which took some time to get wrong, and it has been wrong for some time, and inefficient, in disarray. So one had empathy for the officials. But at the end of the day, you know, they say that if you decide to take the tappings, then you've got to draw the coach. So unfortunately, it is you who are sitting before us, whether you are active on the Hollywood stage or whether you are permanent, you have the responsibility you have the responsibility to see that things go right. Now, Chairperson, I have here before me a document, part of the performance of this particular quarter, Correctional Services Transformation Agenda, Program for Insourcing of Catering at Outsourced Management Areas, and Cost Benefit Analysis. Chairperson, when I look at this document, and I look at the, I'll call it so-called, summary of progress in all management areas. At the top of the page here, on page 2, there are three elements. One is G, for good progress, A, risk of moderate delay, R, risk of major delay, stroke, risk of not delivering. When I look at the 7 alphabets which are allocated to a variety of issues, there is not a single G. Not a single G. All I see there, Chairperson, are 4 A's, which is risk of moderate delay, and 3 R's, which is risk of major delay, risk of not delivery. Chairperson, what it reminds me of, firstly, I'd like to know why. I'm not interested in knowing who was responsible for what. The issue here is why was this job not adequately done. Then, Jefferson, it reminds me, I have said here on umpteen occasions, with a sort of budget that this department administers, or that is required to administer this department, we're talking of about 17 billion rand share. You know, in any private sector institution, a company or whatever, the motive naturally is to see that it operates at a profit, to see that its shareholders get a dividend, and of course other expectations, that it creates employment, naturally it has to pay taxes. Now, over here, sir, we are making available taxpayer money. And we are expecting a particular service to be rendered by the department. And here we find that the department does not seem to be up to speed to render that service. I'm tempted to say, sir, that if this were a private sector business, and I was a shareholder, I would have definitely call for this business to go into liquidation. Now, Chairperson, there's a whole host of other issues here, and when you read the so-called explanation, you know, in one particular case here, they say Western Cape, procurement of meal ingredients, Western Cape, Cold War, evaluation stage. Major issues with all bidders not meeting tender requirements. And this is dated, the closing date was on the 4th of September. Now, this report, naturally, is for the period up to the end of December. I would like to be very naughty and ask, that was the situation as of the 31st of December. What is the situation on the 20th of March? Because within 11 days, you are heading for the final quarter of this particular year, financial year. Now, Chairperson, when one, I must congratulate the officials for accepting up front that the way things are being done leaves much to be desired. Question I ask is this, Chair. Year in and year out, quarter in and quarter out. For the last 4 years that I've been here, I've been hearing this. What are we going to do to see that we do things better? What are we going to do to see that by the time you report for the whole year, that you will be able to tell us that all the problems and limitations that we had experienced, the various expectations that we did not meet, that this is how far we come. Because, Chairperson, I get the impression that we are not running this department on economic principles. You know, in Afrikaans, you've got a good saying, that gods water where gods akker loop. We cannot run that kind of operation. So, Chairperson, to me, it is extremely important that in the other fields, for example, rehabilitation, care. You mentioned a couple of problems that were brought to our attention. That, to my mind, is the tip of the iceberg as to what's happening inside there. I went out, Jefferson, to Boxburg after a phone call that was received. I reported to Cindy at that time. And what I found there is an inmate. I went there the first week of January. Unfortunately, I left my book in my office. The inmate was assaulted by a fellow inmate at about 5 o'clock in the morning, with boiling water thrown on this inmate, because the inmate had complained that the perpetrator, or the alleged perpetrator, was talking very loudly on the cell phone at that time of the morning. That inmate was only located when the official warder visited the particular cell to unlock. The inmate was taken to the hospital there, the hospital at the prison. But thereafter there, by the time this happened, I think somewhere in the last week of December. And I was there, I think it was the 10th or 11th, somewhere there, of January. By that time, Chair, that inmate had still not been seen by a doctor, and burned from the neck downward. When I got there, I could see that the officials were very concerned and worried. Now, Chairperson, your business is to see that those inmates that come in are treated in a humane manner. And if something like this happens, that person, that inmate, should have immediately been taken to a state institution and a hospital for the kind of treatment that person should be getting. So there again, Chair, it may be an isolated incident. But we're getting too many of these isolated incidents, Chair. It's no longer an isolation. It is becoming general. And my problem, Chair, is that we are not carrying out in this department what the Constitution enjoins us to carry out. There are human rights involved. Are we respecting the human rights of people? Or are we allowing those people to be punished a second time? So, Chairperson, I'm disappointed. What I would like to hear is that all those targets that were not met, what are you going to do to see that when you come here the next time, you are able to report what has happened? We need to have a plan of action, Chair. We cannot carry on the way we are doing. We listen to you every quarter, and when we come back to the next quarter, there's precious little that has changed. And if there are constraints, you should actually come out up front like you have done today and say that these are the reasons why this or that we are unable to meet. Thank you, Chair.
I'm going to allow the department to respond, but you know, from last week's interaction, it is more constructive if we ask direct questions. You know, when we pose, as you're doing, with all this respect, all those things, we allow these guys to get away. I think we need to put appointed Christians, even if you're going to ask 100 appointed Christians, for instance, you had a target of 3 schools, you haven't got any school, why not? As opposed to giving everything else, because then we can hold you accountable to that. I would allow members to go on, but I think it's more effective when you ask specific questions, ask them to respond to that question, you can then engage with it further, and Cindy is then able to say, on that one, this is what the department said. I'm just appealing to those that come to maybe ask specifics and let us get them to respond to specifics as opposed to just giving them opportunity to answer what they want to answer. I mean, why is that inmate that was in Boxburg still not seen? I can tell you that we received a letter last week, his eye has fallen out. I can tell you that. And I'm sure Cindy would have submitted that to you. So, as opposed to generalizing, I think let's ask the specific question, what is happening there? Because then we are able to hold you to account. But respond to Mr. Self and Mr. Abra, and we get our opportunity, we can ask you specifics, and not generalize. Over to you, Mr. Smallberg.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I need to say that we cannot differ with the views expressed by itself, and we would try to respond to the question as prompt as possible. So in terms of, I will retake some and my colleagues will respond to the others. So in terms of the first question of myself, in terms of the flight on the board, the offender development, I was trying to save paper, but now the technology led me down to go into the specific details. So I asked my colleagues whether they do have a hard copy, maybe just but to cite a few examples. So in terms of some of the issues raised, one can mention that, although it will not be specific, and it's unfortunate in terms of the presentation, that some of the targets are annual targets. I'm referring to those offenders attend the school and those who part and aggregate the learners as well as the mainstream. Therefore, the quarter three is not a clear indication because it covers the September, October, and it would be appropriate if we go into each and every one, maybe then to discuss it in detail. So in terms of if my technology helps me, I will be in a position to go into the detail now, Chair. So in terms of the question of social work services and psychological services, currently, Chair, the numbers that we are using is the numbers of, let me start with psychology, social work services, it's the number of sentenced offenders and those who have seen social workers. In other words, the individual offenders. Now, immediately, Chair, I know from previous interactions, it might happen that one offender is seeing the social workers in the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter, then you see a number of three and not one because it's an offender. We need the front chair to acknowledge that the system that we do have is not that advanced to identify a name. But currently we are having the names for the quarter, but it might happen that one offender appears more than one in the annual year, so you count more. So currently, Mr. Self will see that, and the colleagues, the members of Parliament will see that it is, for example, 80,482, the cumulative figure, up and until the third quarter, out of a 110 sentenced population. Now, we know that the sentenced population is going in and out, so it is a progressive figure, but we are working on a system to have it almost on an Excel spreadsheet where you have your sentence plan to make sure that if you have information that there's not unnecessary duplication. And that is something, Chair, that G2 is assisting, but it's also not an overnight system that will assist us. But I think it's important to mention that it's also one of the areas that we identify that the numbers might be misleading because the social workers will report the target, will report their achievement against the target, but the value add, and I think that was the next part of Ms. Self's question, whether
there is a value add or not, and whether there's a quality, whether you measure the quality of the intervention. That is the area that we cannot with confidence say up front that we can guarantee that there's quality in terms of the intervention, because you will only realize later there's a fallback or not. So we need to acknowledge that, Chair and Honourable Members, that there's no proof in terms of guarantee of the quality. Chair, the same with psychological services. There is more, Chair, on a, we measure the needs registered vis-a-vis those that were tended to. Now, this is also just services that we provide on a need-based principle. And, Chair, the figures, you will see the achievement there is they were tending to 30,700 out of the bigger number. And again, with that, you don't get a sense to respond promptly to the question to say, yes, they attended to, but it's quality or value add. So that we don't have itself. We only have records that those people were seen by psychologists and problems addressed. And when we discuss psychologists, I need to emphasize again, it's also, you can say, the battle between the profession of a psychologist, where they regard their intervention, therapeutic intervention, as almost a confidential matter, vis-a-vis the correctional services needs in terms of quality. Where this is coming more prominent is when you need the reports, when you consider, for example, the release of lifers. Then you need qualitative information at the end of the day for the NCC as well as the minister to take a decision. And you need this track record over many years. And I can assure the members of parliament that this is also a matter that we discuss in the National Council of Correctional Services in terms of the quality of the reports from social workers as well as psychologists, whether that is assisting to change as well as to be in a position to take a decision. So, Mr. Self, I'm not answering you directly, but I think by sharing is to make sure that we have an understanding and on the same page in terms of this. So if I may, in terms of the schools, I would hope to have the names by now, but here for the third quarter, the target was there's still three outstanding where we as a department need to satisfy the Department of Education to be in a position to register the schools, because the difference, not to waste the time of the portfolio committee, but in terms of in the past, it was possible for you to have the old matric where you write 1 year one subject and another year, and at the end of the day you completed your six or seven subjects and you pass them your grade 12. But currently the requirement of the Department of Education is that you have to...
No, 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 we're not talking about the soft side of it. We're talking about construction. So it's got nothing to do with the syllabus. You were supposed to construct three schools. Two school facilities, Van Rijns and Siri, and one in Tanin. No school facilities, you've got 99 concrete, and you're saying it's because the contractors, the delays are due to contractors' slow progress. Contractors are paying penalties. So that's what you're asking about. I'm asking this thing because, quite frankly, Siri and Van Rijns, the delays there are now no longer acceptable. They are no longer acceptable. We've interacted with the department, we've interacted with DPW, we've interacted with the contractor. And members ask the question, why is one contractor doing all those things? As we speak today, is the construction of those schools completed? As we speak today, yes or no? Because if not, then we have to act.
Thank you. My apologies. My understanding was unfortunately in terms of the software side, but we do have the presentation of the three Western Cape Correctional Centres that is on the program. I don't know whether I can ask Mr. Dise in terms of the construction, or we will deal with that in terms of the presentation.
Right now, we just want to know, are those construction completed? the other details will get laid. It's part of the program. As we speak today, can I send Mr. Sal out to Van Renzo, and that you will see that that bathroom is completely yes or no?
In terms of the three sites that were mentioned, the sites are not behind over, so I don't think it will be appropriate just to respond to that small section of Van Rijnsburg of the school, because that facility is part of the structure of the school. So I think the answer on your question will be no, because it's not being completed and handed over to the department. Thank you.
Right. Before the others, I think Ms. Abram also asked a few questions. If you're happy, we'll go for a second round. Members can always engage then and re-ask the questions if they think it will not be adequately responded to. But does anybody else want to venture to other questions? Then we'll come back for a second round.
Chairman, thank you very much. And members of parliament, the concerns and questions that are raised by member of parliament, Mr. Abram, talk to the nutrition presentation that we are going to provide later. So I think all of the concerns that is raised will be answered. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Sal, is there anybody else that wants to ask questions? We'll come back from those, Mr. Sal, but let's take your hands if they are. Mom Grenier? And then, Mr. South, you can have a second night. Thank you. Margaret?
Thank you, Chatterton. Chatterton, I think the report of the department in terms of quarterly, we have agreed, all of us, that we need to change the way of reporting. Maybe that's why it's so difficult to us, because we didn't have as specific things that we want them to report to us. When I'm looking at this document, Chair, there's a lot of things that the department has reported on. But Chair, you remember that this quarterly reported started when we wanted to fix the thing of nutrition, that it will be good for us to get quarterly report. But Chair, if I can take the committee back to for last week, when we were at the COP, it shows that there's a lot that department needs to do in terms of reporting. For example, Chairperson, on the question that I was asking on the budget that was allocated 2008 and 9, and you find that that budget, Chairperson, is long time due. But we still got a question of some of the things that the department didn't done by that time. And we're asking questions with things, for example, 2008, 2009. Maybe it's another thing that department needs to change on. You remember that the minister also, it was so difficult for him to respond on something that he was not there on that time. So the quarterly is going to help all of us in terms of reporting. Now, Chair, I want to check from the department in terms of the game reason, Chair. What plans do they have in terms of the game, Chair? On this document, Chair, you find that there are inmates that have been assaulted and members that have been assaulted, but it is not clear, Chairperson, that how many that have been arrested, and the members that have been suspended. What has the department done How about them? In terms of the kitchen, the person, this page doesn't have numbers. But there is a number of, there is number of kitchens that have been provided with new equipment or repair. At the end there, Chair, it tells you that 31 additional kitchens have been completed. And now, Chair, that's why I was saying that it's so difficult for me to follow this this table, because it doesn't give me a clear problem surfacing that where are we? It has got everything, kitchen, facilities. So for me, Chair, it's so difficult to go through this. I did take it even in my office that it was so difficult to check the table that we want to achieve out of this report, Chair. Because I believe that the time we want this report, we want to get a sense that if we've got kitchen and these kitchens have a nutrition, Chair, then are we improving or not? And if we are improving, how best can we do so that other centers also can be accommodated? That was our understanding, Chairperson. And how much are we spending? Are we losing, or are we paying more, or are we paying less? I want to get to that sense, Chair. By the way, the timetable is the way the problem, the type the thing, Chairperson. I can't go through it, Chairperson. When we talk about school here, it doesn't give me any sense what do we want to say in terms of upgrading the school. Each center, how many classes must have? And if we have been, the department has been agreed with 10 classes or 5 classes, it doesn't give me any sense to say maybe in Johannesburg, we want 10 classrooms, but now out of the 10 classrooms, we have built 5. We left with 5. I can't say that, HM. So maybe it's that by professional. But if we are in terms of the cost of the community, if I talk about inmates that is going to school, which in the shooting, Mama class of family would have a corner, a goalie. As the president with the Niaki, he has been talking about education even inside in our center. But we can't talk with education and we don't have classes. And when we go to oversight, we find that we don't have classes. We are taking some of the cells that were supposed to sit the inmate and make classes in questionnaire center. So if we want to approve to make improvement in terms of our correctional center, in terms of schools, how best can we do? And how often is the department must report checking? So I don't have much questions, but I'm just throwing this debate Chairperson, that when we said we want to go to report, what do we want from the department? If this document is like this, Chairperson, it's not clear to me. Thank you.
Not to self allow you, but let's clarify that so that everybody at least is on the page that I am on, and I think that's what it is. Every year the department on where it comes to us and says, this is my set plan. In other words, this is what I'm going to do for the next 12 months with so much money. Over the next 3 years, this is what I'm going to do in year one, that's what I'm going to do in year two, and that's what I'm going to do in year three. And that's what they're going to do next month when they come in here. So they come with a plan. we approve the budget and the plan. Our quarterly reporting interaction is to look at that threat plan that they gave us in the beginning of the year. At the beginning of the year, you said you're going to build 10 schools. We are now 3/4 of the year. Of those 10 schools that you said you're going to build, how many have you built? This is what this interaction is about. That is why the report would have target and actual. So we have to go and say, but your target was 10 schools, you've only got 2 schools, but that's the intention of it. Now maybe members must turn around and redesign how we want that information presented if it's a bit too difficult for some of us. Because sometimes these are the technocrats, these are the people that do it every day. They might understand it, but we might want to make it simpler. But that's what we must say. That please give it to us in a simple form. But the intention is to say for that 17 billion that Mr. Abraham already talked about, if you spend 60% of it, show us that you've spent it on. Now, before the Auditor General comes. That's the intention of going. But we can look at it, and if we want to have more focus and more simple, we can do that so that Mr. Asaroke, in terms of that, that he does can focus. So that I'm hoping understanding why we've been called really India, they call it India monitoring. But we can have our own discussion in the preparation for the threat plan, how we want that information quarterly. Mm-hmm. But that we must meet with them every quarter is something that is a requirement. We have to do. How we do it, we can work around. Mr. Self, you want to do that? I'm hoping that solves the why part of Mr. Self.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thanks very much for Small David's response, because I think it really goes to your point about what's the format that we want these things in.
Mm.
Because with the greatest respect, I don't think it's helpful to know how many individual social lit sessions there were, for example. We want to know how many people, how many individual warm bodies benefited from a program and came out of the other side of rehabilitated. That's what we really want to know. And I have a suspicion that you can hide a multitude of sins behind figures of this nature if you have, say, one social work visitation every 3 years, which looks good on paper because it bumps up the figures, but which is of no practical benefit. You see, the other thing is, what is meant by participate in? That's the other thing that I always worry. So, for example, you say that there are so many offenders who participate in or involved in production workshops, for example, or who participated in skill development programs. What does it mean? Does it mean one person went once a month for one session on Zen Buddhism? Or does it mean that there's a program that had a starting point and a finishing point and you've got a graduate at the end of the program that made that person a better person for having participated in it? So when you go and intersect sort of further on how to refine the targets and the programs, I would ask that you look also at outcomes rather than simple participation, because that, I suspect, would be more helpful in working out whether the 17 billion bucks has been properly spent.
No. I think it's an opportune time, Mangwenya, that you raise the subject. Remember, the department is coming to present their stress plan and so on when we come back. What I think we need to do, the kinds of issues Mr. Self is raising and the kinds of issues that are important to us, how many job opportunities they might have here, 10 job opportunities. Maybe we must redefine this in our own way when we interact with them and say, we're not interested in job opportunities, we're interested in how many warm bodies went in as nothing and came out as a painter or an editor. So I think our first session, we will have to refine it so that they come and answer the kinds of questions that we're asking. You are quite correct that the current way of doing it was not very helpful. So I'm suggesting that's what we do going forward. On all these matters. But it depends on us then. It means we must do our homework in terms of, because they, I would assume you've got targets and things in here. If there are targets in this book that don't make sense to us, can we go and make suggestions of what we want to see? They talk about I don't know what, like I said, job opportunities or those type of things. It's very vague. Or visits by psychiatrists and themselves, it's very vague. Maybe we must ourselves redefine it before we get there. And then when you come and talk to us, you talk to us on specifics. I think you were also asking just now. Let's not talk about everything, let's talk on specifics. So that will help us going forward. And I'm saying it's a truth that we do that now. We're going to meet. But members can still ask on specifics or anything else that you might want to ask. Otherwise, we'll go to the other two matters. But on this one, I'm suggesting that instead of debating on the pros and cons, let's say this is what we think should happen going forward. And how are we going to make it happen? Let's take Yuma and then take Mangwenya. And so that the department know when they go back what to bring to the table the next time they come visit us.
Thank you, Chairperson. Surely there must be a head of center area clinic that are responsible for performance. This is a red zone at the center park. It is a red zone of we did not deliver. The question that I want to ask is, why is it difficult to implement that is not achieved if there is a performance agreement signed with the responsible head of center of that center? Because if there is performance agreement, for sure, people must be evaluated according to their performance. And there must be action taken for people who are not performing. Because we cannot accept reports that tell us very boldly there are, we did not achieve. And it's red, better than red. There are these issues that are not, rehabilitation is not reported. Not reported means no service delivery. The question that I'm asking, does the department have performance agreements? And key performance indicators that is giving that these are the indicators and this is what you have must perform in this quarter. Or is the dependency of the department on consultants, giving the vacuum of not evaluating and monitoring the performance of head of centers and area commissioners, the manager. Because every unit does have a responsible person. We cannot come here and say that we did not implement. What is the difficulty? Why is that there no implementation? It can be policy, it can be the legislation, because nobody thought before us legislation that hamper that we cannot deliver. So there was no such infrastructure. So also, the advertised vacancy in due course, when is in due course, it must be long again. Is there a time frame? When are we going to fill up the acting position? Are occupied by permanent position. Acting does not give performance. Acting does not give performance agreements signed. That is my understanding and my view, and post it.
Thank you very much, and the games and the activities, I think Chairperson would be properly responded to when we provide to members the report about incidents. However, one has to indicate the challenge that the Correctional Services Department is facing with regard to the management of gangs, even though we do have a strategy in place. To sum it up very shortly, Chairperson, is to say that we do have areas, correctional facilities, where there is heightened gang activity, and we do have areas where this gang activity is being minimized and controlled. So I think when we provide the report later that talks to the incidents that have been plaguing the department recently, I think that will provide also an understanding of our situation. The other question that was raised with regard to kitchens, I think, Chairperson, as I have indicated earlier, it would be better that I provide a complete report on the nutrition, how far are we, where are we, so that we have one understanding. And I think for my part, that would be all. I think the other question can respond to.
Chairperson, thank you, and thank you also to the members. Indeed, positions have been addressed at senior level. What they are at various stages of the field. What we do know, or what I can report to the members of the committee, is that selection panels have been established for the various positions. What still needs to take place are the interviews. Now, just looking at the timeline and how, in the past, from a trend analysis, it has taken us, we are looking realistically at a period of 2 months. If indeed you are looking at an external person, that if at the end of April you have concluded everything, you then allow people to serve notice wherever they are. If they, even if they're internal, you still want people to wrap up whatever project that they will deal with before they can then commence. So, realistically, we are looking at a period henceforth of 2 months before those positions can then be filled. What we have tried to do as well, Chairperson, with the members of the committee, is that from an HR point of view, we have assigned individual HR practitioners to all the chief deputy commissioners, essentially to try and hold the HR practitioners accountable. So that in the past, what you had was you had a group of HR practitioners who are responsible for selection, and chief deputy commissioner or the branch head would then go, and basically it would in essence be almost like a queue that, you know, on a first come first served basis. Whereas right now you have then a dedicated person who will then be responsible from an HR point of view of ensuring that the necessary recruitment processes are then undertaken, be it to generate memos, to set up interviews, to set up competency assessment, so that each and every branch now has an accountable HR person that they can then rely upon to run the HR aspect of the recruitment and selection. The second portion, or the second question, related to better performance. Indeed, there is performance management, not only at senior level, but also within the performance management, even for junior officials. What one would have to frankly indicate is that not all members of correctional services get, even junior level, get performance or merit awards, for want of a better expression. But what we still need to tighten up, frankly, is that of consequence management, where it should not just be denying a person a merit award. It should then go on to say, if indeed you were meant to do the following things and you have not done them, what then are the consequences that should fall over and above, of course, being denied or being rendered ineligible to receive the comment or the merit award. And I think if one looks at the statistics of not only Department of Correctional Services, from a discipline and misconduct point of view, you will find quite clearly that there would be a list of offenses, your assault and so on, coming to wear drunk and then. But you would find it very difficult to pinpoint cases where they are performance related. In other words, we had 10 cases where people were charged for non-performance.
and I'll submit members of the committee. It's something that not only this department, but many other government departments are still lagging. In fact, we have probably not even added the starting blocks as far as that is concerned. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Chair. I think in addition to what Mr. Mukana was saying, as part and parcel of us improving our planning process and alignment, what we're saying is that in the new financial year, we want to link individual performance with organizational performance. So by that, I mean that the annual performance plan branch would actually be the performance agreement of the branch head. And then those performance agreements should actually be cascaded down at an operational level. So at some point, if an X in area Y doesn't perform, then there has to be somebody who takes responsibility for non-performance. So you would see that if the organization is performing at 90%, automatically it should mean that the officials are at a 90% performance, not the other way around. And that is part and parcel of us improving our planning. Thank you.
I really want to get on to specifics, but let's argue about when if you're into this point, because I want to get into the other matters that are important, and I want to finish. But I'm going to hear your question.
Yeah, thank you, Jefferson. It looks like now I'm starting to understand where are we. Jefferson, I want you to understand that the issue of DCS gang management in this statement, what does it mean? Which gang? Kulumangama gang lakhe. I want to understand that. Because I've got a problem about egalism in our gang. And the words that are looking after those gangs, kind of thing. We are not getting a sense of how is the treatment that these people are getting. Or back here in general, so we miss the other. Because Chair, I don't think we can call our center correctional center. But we've got people who are gang. Who knows? Which am I gang in our 26 or 28? And we are not doing anything about it. Then I want to get a clarity check, which is the issue of the gang in general, because I believe if we are saying this is correctional center, let even those gangs be corrected. Umar City is a Cosmo. Then every small we find that there's 26 and 28. And we are allowing this gang to grow in our center. In terms of Utlama gang, I mean, we are in mind. But they are growing. What does mean about that? Because if you really were fighting gangs, we need to take Akonama gang a portion. They are 20 or they are 10. But we want by this time, this message and I said you're going to have my game. So I don't know this game, this F game, you can be any in the Kulunga or Kulunga other game, and I understand that. As a messenger, it's Jefferson, and I see, Akulang, Awake, I'm always signing you. And who must do that game? Who must make that game to be a and for them, which by you know, family with TNZ, which is not a school member, I'm not getting insight in our sense. Thank you.
No, it's fine. Mr. Bodhi said earlier that you'd want to deal with that when we deal with the incense. That's how I think let's get to the details, because now we're talking people. But when we get to the incidents that we've asked for, those are the kinds of questions that you should ask and then you can give us answers for it. So yes, let's do that. So to this thing, then we go on to the next agenda item, which is, and it's very simple, I mean the reason why it's there is we want to know, is there a service level agreement between DPW and DCS? Yes or no, show it to us, if it's signed, it's fine, you can shelve it. is there a service level agreement between yourself and DPW?
Chairperson, the report that I have is that there is a service level agreement that is signed by the National Commission of Mayane and the DG of DPW. And when I was establishing the fact of, I was informed that the SLA has been provided to the committee.
Alright. So that one is done. In future, members, when they say to us that this was not done because of DPW, so I can look and see if it's an agreement. That thing is done. There can't be any argument anymore. We had it, and I'm sure members have got copies of it. So that one, I think, is done. We will use that as a reference point going forward. Okay, the next agenda item then, Mr. Modise, is the one that you said you'd want to talk to, and there were a few other questions, and that is about the nutrition contract. Just to bring it back to our understanding, the contract expired on the 31st of January. We agreed at Kempton Park that we will extend it until May, and in between January and May, it must go for a normal supply chain management process, so that at the end of the day, not the Auditor General, not this committee, not anybody else is able to poke holes into it. That was our understanding. And I guess the question that is being asked now is, where are we in that regard?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. The report that is provided to the committee is a report that is dated November 2012. Is that the right one? Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. This was the status report as at the end of November 2012. And it was mainly talking here as to the state of readiness of correctional services to install. Now, Chairperson is asking me a pertinent question as to a meeting that was held in January and also the fact that there was an extension and how far are we with that process of having a contract in place. I can report to the portfolio committee that the process as we speak, Chairperson, everything has been done up to evaluation stage. In other words, visits have been conducted, everything, the bids that have been received have been evaluated. However, one process that still needs to be undertaken is the adjudication. And once that process has been done, it will then be provided to the National Commission. So that is the only step that needs to be put in place. And I am stating to this committee that will be done within the time frame that was agreed upon by correctional services. And I think to Mr. Affairs, I think I can make that report now, Chairman.
Mr. Makakula, Mr. Let me just ask a question before they get involved. Have you guys, and I'll ask other members so that when you respond to my one, you can respond to the specific, but I'm going to allow members to ask specific questions. Have you guys answered the question that has been raised about core and non-core? Because that question, unless it's answered, we're always going to have this problem. And at one point, I'm raising this because at one point we have paid some consultants, I think 3 million or 30 million, I don't know what it is, but we have certainly made some payment for somebody to go and do the evaluation and so on. So if you are able to say to us, which is the more cost-effective approach? And I would assume cost-effective would not only just be rand and cents, but it would be the rehab value and all those things that are involved. And I know you did some exercise, and there's something, after you've answered everybody else, you need to answer that question for us. We are happy that you are saying it's on track. We are hoping at the end of the day that whatever process you guys are following will not open us up to any sorts of problems. But we'll await the adjudication and that type of thing. As long as there's no automatic extension, it's gone through the process. But I'm saying even after that's done, we still have to argue about whether it's core or not core business. But I've noted Mr. Bakagula and then Mr. Shah.
If you can ask specifically so that you can deal with it and move on to the next question. No, just tell me, Chairperson. Yes, it's good. Chairperson, I think we are delaying about this process because the department is delaying this process because remember there is a company that is busy taking on contract. And we want just to move away on that, so that this process must be delayed and not speaking about it again. But Chairperson, I'm having a problem about these two facilities, which maybe are not part of, the process. One is Humbent, the second one is Pavatol. Really, Chairperson, we need this process to remember in Babaton what is happening. The inmate fight for food, and then chaos was happening, and the number of the inmates that in Babaton really is also equivalent to the number that the other facilities that are in the program. But we ask the department to see that what they can do, to see what they can do to include those facilities, if it can happen, to include those two facilities, if it can happen, in this process. Because really we can't go again and do and dig, make tender, but you can do what you can do in this process, including Babaton and Woodbend. Chairperson, we are coming from Woodbend, we see the chaos there. And also the chaos in the kitchen, the chaos of the prison. So also it will assist the problem that the inmate can't cook for the other inmate and the official can't cook, but the hospital service provider. So you have the department must run around on that and check how they include these two facilities. I think.
Thank you, Jefferson. I want to ask two very direct questions. The first relates to the handout that we got. And you will see at the bottom of one page, I think it's page 2, and it's 7 and the acquisition of feed transportation equipment and utensils. And it's earmarked major risk or risk of major delay, risk of non-delivery, and
page 2.
The summary of progress in all management areas at the bottom on 7. It says that negotiations to take over the fastest equipment sale date, the faster no longer willing to fill. And then it goes on to set timeline for acquisition of new equipment to DPW almost impossible. Now, if I have a contract and I own some equipment and I refuse to sell it, and I know that the supply chain management process is going to take 6 or 8 or 10 months to get new equipment, what this effectively does is ensures that it will not be possible to in-source equipment. In other words, it's a sort of constructive way of ensuring that we have to carry on outsourcing equipment. It goes right to the point the Chairperson made about circumventing the argument about core business and non-core business. Because if you fail to make the negotiation about the sale of your own equipment, you can't guarantee that contract will have to continue to be outsourced. The second problem is this, and in the tender documentation, it is a document called the SBDA, and it's a declaration of bidders cost supply chain management practices. And it said under paragraph 3, the bidder, any bidder may be disregarded if that bidder or any of its directors have committed fraud or any other improper conduct in relation to such system. I put it to you that one of the bidders on this particular contract is under investigation by the board. There was an investigation by the special investigating unit. There was officials from the department that are now facing trial, I don't know how many years after. I want to know whether this document is going to disqualify that particular service provider for bidding for the contract.
Any others on the nutrition? Specific questions from Sabra?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would just like to determine whether the current equipment that is being utilized by whoever, to whomever the nutrition is outsourced, whether all the equipment in those kitchens at the time of outsourcing has belonged to the department, yes or no. If it did belong to the department, what was the terms of the usage of those equipment by those that were successful in getting the contract to supply nutrition? Because Jefferson, once Mr. Sheldon asked this particular question regarding the negotiations, I'm asking this question, Chair, in order to determine whether what I read here in front of me is not put in such a way that the minds are made up to go in a particular direction, and that we are merely playing around with semantics, that no, we are busy with this and we are busy with that, and we're talking about this and we are talking about that. My dear person, along with that question, you have here the question of regions having started procurement process for perishables and non-perishables. Can I be given an example of what is really meant here? Is it only those centers where currently it is provided by the center itself, nutrition? The final one on this day, agricultural produce upgrade, number 6. There is a bigger plan to improve the produce from our farms to reduce the rejection rate. Produce sold at market-related prices. Can I understand what rejection rate is there? What is being rejected? And if you talk of a rate, then there must be a percentage. What percentage of whatever you are saying is rejected is being rejected? And you talk of produce sold at market-related prices. I have seen information that produce is not sold at those centers where the nutrition is outsourced. There is an agreement that produce produced on correctional services plants shall be sold to them at a percentage below market price. And that has been the practice, it has been happening. I would like to know exactly what you mean by this. Final one there on the accredited service provider, it's number 5, training of offenders. Accredited service provider to be appointed to train offenders. Long-term accreditation of DCS officials to train the offenders. It is also one that is that is running the risk of a moderate delay. Now, I would like to know, Chairperson, exactly what is it that you want to train and equip these offenders with? Exactly what do you want them to do? Thank you very much.
Mr. Vice. Oh, the Chair.
Thank you, Chair. If I may start, then the colleagues will attend to those areas within their area of responsibility. Chair, in terms of the first, in terms of Groenpunt as well as Barberton, I think we need to again mention that, you know, the contract was advertised in November. The closing date was the 21st of January this year.
the process in terms of evaluation, as Mr. Manisha said, has been completed. So at this stage, it will not be possible to add rational centers to those already advertised. Chair, in terms of your question, whether we have finalized the matter, whether we are core, non-core, Chair, in the presentation that was previously reviewed, there is also the issue that the EPMO office is also looking at the cost-benefit side to make sure that in terms of the long-term decision, abbreviation, Enterprise Program Management Office to assist that. Within the department, Chair, to look at that part so that we can really apply our mind in terms of whether core or not, and whether in terms of the long-term strategy, whether it will be then to include this other or not to include and to change the decision that is currently to have this outsourced, and in that period will allow us that opportunity, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
And where are you expecting to have some finality of what it means, people, whatever it is? The question I'm asking
is, when do we get to a point? You see, the Department of Education, not Education, Health, as I understand it, have reached the point where they've said it's not core business and we're not going to do anything about it. It then clarifies all the questions that members ask you. We are not able to do that. Because had we done that, then there would be no debate about whether it must be. The debate would just be, was it a fair process? But it's been forever that this department has not been able to come back to us and say, it is core or it's non-core business. You are now saying this EOMP, whatever it is. The question that I'm asking you, sir, is, when are we going to reach finality on that point? In terms of them having done their investigation and pronouncing one way or the other. Can you guys give us an indication, or was it not possible to give an indication at this point?
Okay, thank you. I think it will be risky now to give you a specific date, but that is one of the issues that we will need to continue to engage with the portfolio committee. It will not go away up until we have applied our minds and have that interaction with the committee. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Yes, sir?
Chairperson, thank you. I'm going to respond to the questions that members have asked. The questions that the Honourable Chair has asked to ask with regard to the equipment detainment, I think, Chairperson, it would be proper for me to indicate that the equipment issue that the department had with the service provider could not be resolved. And as a result of that, the department should have had a fallback position to say, if it is this problem, then what are we going to do? Chairperson would remember that when the service provider took over, we were having kitchens that were running, and we had our own power and equipment. So it would then be important for us to see what to what use the cost that we have can be made, and then the equipment that needs to be added on, how do we go about that? I wouldn't like to venture to say that would then guarantee that a specific direction would be taken with regard to the process there. I don't think that would be correct of me to say that. But on the chairperson, with regard to the disqualification that Mr. Self is referring to, I do not think that would be proper, seeing that there is a process that is currently underway, and the teams that have been appointed to do all of the process, evaluation, and appointment notification should then be the ones that decide as to whether any bidder is disqualified or not. I cannot give that response. I'm sorry about that. But Chairperson, the question that were put to us by Mr. Abraham, especially with regard to the presentation that we have given you on November 2012, that talked to specific issues, one of which was perishable. Now, then at that time, the tender invitations that were issued was with regard to the correctional centers, which was benefiting on the outsourcing nutrition contract. So that was to ensure that in the event that the department is not able to get to an agreement, then the department should then be able to obtain or procure perishables, which are those commodities that would at any time perish if they are not being treated properly. And adding to that is the issue of rejection. Now, I don't think I would be in a position to provide a proper report in that regard. Safe to say that all perishables do have life period. In other words, if it is not used in that period, it then gets rejected. Also, depending on the quality of the product, including even animal commodity. So I think a report from our agricultural section can be very much helpful to clarify the issue of rejection. Then maybe the last point that the member is asking about the market-related and the agreement. Chairperson, if you look into the contract that was there with the Department of Correctional Services and the service provider, there is a clause that talks to the procurement of agricultural goods. And seeing that that was a contract between two juristic persons, I do not think I can provide or I can request that a copy of that contract be provided to members of parliament. But the fact is that is a confidential document that I really do not see that I should, I think I should not be talking to it, other than to say that I know that there is this clause in that part of the contract that talks to the rate at which correctional services can then be able to sell commodities to the service provider. And then, Chairperson, you're asking a very relevant question as to whether we have considered core and non-core. On Monday, we had a National Management Committee meeting in which we decided that seeing that the record that we had, which was not conclusive as to would it be cost economically viable for us to manage kitchens or what should be the way forward, we took a decision that we shall have to conduct a study into an urgent study into whether correctional services is in a better position to insource or to outsource, indicating what are the risks, what would be the cost, and would we be in a better position then at the end of the day to provide our own nutritional services or not, and how would that then impact on our ability to render correctional services. I think for us, importantly, would be this department's purpose and mandate is to render correctional services to people that have offended society, so that when they get back to society, they are better people. Now, that is our core function. All the others, whether are we able to do that, and how do they impact and hamper our ability to render that important service? We shall then be able to respond. Thank you very much.
You have nothing to say.
That's correct. And the questions that we have mentioned for the chat about children, the SPTA one, and also the one on kitchen equipment, and the one on kitchen equipment as well.
No. Before you respond to that one, you can respond later. You know, I Mr. Modise, you think that the process is ongoing. I just don't want this committee to pronounce on those type of things because it will get out of here. It then influences which way, positive or negative. So that's the first point that I wanted to make. I thought, Mr. Modise, that you would have come to us to say to us, because we put few conditions. We said we don't want this contract to be automatically extended. We have said that we're giving this extension that we agreed to in January a specific life. In other words, 6 months or 3 months or whatever it was. And that we were saying that by the end of that period, whatever processes you follow must comply with supply chain management, must be open. I was hoping that that's what you're coming to do. Once you get into the detail of what is in the tender, I'm going to ask you a question, are you sitting in the adjudication panel? And why are you privy to those types? Because it opens up all sorts of... That's why I don't want you to answer those questions now. once this thing has been approved to whoever, if members of parliament or the public or anybody has a question, they are then able to question on the specifics. You gave this thing to X, and yet this is what I know about X. I'm hoping that that's how we deal with it. I don't want you to give us any detail. What we are saying is that in January we asked you to, or you came to ask and asked us that we don't cut it off on the 31st of January as we had promised last year. Our condition was we won't do that for 6 months, on condition you don't come back to us 6 months later and say you are still in the process. That was our first condition. Our second condition was, whatever that process is, it necessitates the scrutiny of this committee, the scrutiny of Auditor General, and the scrutiny of South Africa generally. And I was expecting you guys to come back and say you're on track with those things. Everything else, we will debate once the final product is there. Yes, sir?
Okay, thank you. Dave, as we are sitting here today, we can confirm that that process is still on track. And I think Mr. Mudise was referring to the current situation or the contract that is about to be reallocated or to be allocated. So, Chair, we will also echo what you have said, that nobody need to preempt or to comment about something that is still in process. So I think the responses need to be based on the situation before the advert. In other words, if there's questions in terms of reduction currently at the agriculture section, to respond to that, not in the future, but for our experience of the past and to change.
Well, therefore, we will certainly interrupt whatever the outcome is. Yeah. I'm really not interested in the outcome. That's why I was asking the question, is it core or non-core business? That's the first one. The second one, whoever the winner is, if that's the correct word, will be subjected to scrutiny by this committee. It doesn't matter who it is. It will be subjected to scrutiny, whether it's Mr. A or Mr. B. And our bill is that you better make sure that it passes that scrutiny. And that we will not extend it automatically again. So, I mean, your argument of if you don't extend it, there will be a riot, it comes to a problem. We will not extend it again. Is that acceptable to members? Come
on. Thank you, Chairperson. I think
Chairperson
here has closed it very well, because our responsibility, Chair, is to make sure that the money of the government is used effectively. Our responsibility, Chair, is not to determine who's getting tender or whatever. All we want is to see things going very well in our center. Although, Chair, I was wanting to check in terms of the centers that we have gone for oversight, like Kumpen, Kitching, and the Babaton, that why was not included here. Maybe there was a reading. I don't know if I'm out of order, Chair. You'll correct me. Thank you.
No, you're not out of order. I think they answered that question. But I'm saying for this specific contract, when it went out to the public, it didn't include those two. Mm-hmm. And on that basis, people went out and tendered or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. Whether those two should sit here or not sit here, I don't think I want to entertain for now, because if you open it up, you're creating problems. Mm-hmm. But let's have that discussion going forward. And it boils down to this question, because unless you deal with core or non-core business, you have a problem. Some of us have a problem why it's only in certain areas and not in other areas. When it comes to non-core, whether it is Barberton or Burkeville or whoever, everybody must be outsourced. If it's core, everybody must be outsourced. And for me, that is the problem. That is the core to this. 18 years down the line, you can't come to us and say, just you're still making that decision. You just cannot. And it is bedeviling this department, because we are not able to take that decision. But we will revisit this matter, Mr. Odisha, once you guys have pronounced. Because once you pronounce, it means you've got a contract. We are then able, as anybody else, the losing bidders than anybody else, are able to challenge your decision. When I say your decision, I'm saying the process that's been undertaken by the adjudication. Thanks for that.
I asked the question about the training of offenders. You see that it's all part of the reports, Chet, that we are scrutinizing. Now I'm interested to know, Chet, and I haven't had a response to that. That's number 5 on this particular document, page number 2, where they are repeated, an accredited service provider to be appointed to train offenders. Long-term accreditation of DCS officials who train the offenders. I would like to know there exactly what are we trying to achieve in wanting to train offenders. Train them in what? It's something that I'm entitled to know, and so the taxpayers of the country do. Are we going to train offenders in skills that are to be utilized in-house while they are incarcerated? Or is it the idea that you prepare them with skills when they leave? And if you say yes, that person, an accredited service provider to be appointed, tell us what exactly are you expecting? What is the end result that you want out of it? Then I might perhaps find that, no, this is obsolete. You're wasting our time and money. Well, I might say, no, but it's excellent, but we need to go a bit further. So at least we should have a reply to this, Chair, because it's an anticipated expenditure, and we need to be taken on board. We must know why. Thank you. And what are the outcomes that we anticipate?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In terms of the presentation, as the Commission, Commissioner and Executive all indicated, that this was a state pass as of November, when the department had not yet advertised the bid. When we are looking at what that we need to put in place to in-source administration services. Now, if you move back to the contract of 2004:2008, the nutrition services contract, part of the contract, the clauses were saying that the service provider, so it's not about just catering only, it's multifaceted. There's a portion where we said the department, as a contractor, you need to provide accredited training to our own vendors, who you're going to train in-house, so that by the time it's accredited, so by the time they are released out of our facilities, they can be employable in restaurants and in hotels. So if there are hotels, of course there are hotels of near the grade 23, about the quantity of training that you wanted. And the current service provider did provide that. In other words, we would identify those offenders, and then those offenders working in terms of the indications themselves undergoing accredited training where they are fully assessed by the relevant assessor in the hotel industry, and they get certificates so that when they leave our facility, we are sure that they can at least compete fairly outside in terms of being employable with their certificate, as much as we know that still has the problem of the criminal records that hang on top of their heads. But at least other employers do open up to employ those offenders, and they do get employment. So that was the intention. And we wanted to uphold that standard if we employ the department. To say, we don't want to lose that development. And if we want to continue with it, we need to know that the service provider that we then engage, if we is in surveillance stage, that service provider will offer the same quality of accredited training to our offenders. So that was the intention, is the intention. And we continue, that's why we don't lose sight of. That we provide nutrition, but it must be not just one line. It must be development of affairs implicated in the whole program.
No, I understand, yes. So it's got a specific focus. It is not a broad training issue. Make it clear. We'll hold you to that. Thank you.
All right. Let's just wrap this one up. You can rest assured that once you adjudicate it, it will be open to scrutiny to the public, and we certainly at some point in view would want to make sure that it's not going to appear in the Auditor General's report as some qualification justification. All right. It has sustained us too much, this thing of nutrition. That is why we have to make sure it's right the first time. Can we move on to security fencing program and your service level agreements? Because those two, or everything to do with IDC.
Yes.
Can you guys talk to us about it?
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Mzise will do the presentation. It's safe to say that the MOU of IDT was also provided to the committee secretary, and I believe they need to engage on that at a later stage, but I think it is submitted. Thank you, Chair.
All right. MOU. Yeah. All right. Do you want to talk to us about the
presentation? Chair, I think I'm a bit confused. We have provided the memorandum of agreement, and we have also provided members of parliament with their report. I will not know whether
no, maybe I was being silly as the chairperson. We have been provided with those two reports. Are there any questions on them? Anybody wants to ask questions on those two reports? Mr. Makagula, Mr. Self, Mr. Abraham.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think this one we can scrutinize because it's already our day. Chairperson, I know the problem we have about the fencing. It's a serious problem. I think Mr. Self last year was used to it, and then I just went much on it. And then I realized that the department here pay those people 80%. And then why the work is not done? So are you sure that these people will finish their work with the 20% that is left behind? Because seriously, those people will come to you and ask more money for extending their contract. So this is a serious problem from the department. This is a serious problem. You can't pay the person such amount before the person has worked. It's a serious problem. And we need the department to inform, to tell us why they did this. I think also, because I didn't pick up when the professor was always speaking about it. And then when I went much on the program, and then I realized that there is a problem in this circumstance. And then really we have to do something to change that. Because I was told that this construction is the owner of the contract, is also the owner of the prison. But I only find that I asked the people, and then he said, no, it's not, it's a separate contract. But all this person, really, I think this person is related with some of the senior officials so that they can get the money before. You can't get the money while you did the work. Really, this is a serious problem. I think.
Yeah, please respond to that question. I just want to add, when you respond to it, it's not new. You know we had the Pezulu problem. We were paying people money, and fences were lying in the yard. The question they're asking, and I want them to ask specific questions so that we hold you. Why are you paying 62% of the contract price before the work is done? I think is what Mr. Parker-Gould has asked. Does somebody want to answer the question?
Chairperson, the IDT spoke as a fencing contract with correctional services. I had said that the implementing agent is IDT, which is Independent Development Trust. And maybe that should be short and provide at least some clarity that IDT then serves the same purpose as that which is served by Department of Public Works, in that it is then the in-between the department and the service provider. Now, in this case, Chairperson, in the memorandum of agreement, it is clarified as to what would then be the basis according to which this contract is going to be implemented. And it is also clarified as to what amounts are to be paid to IGT, so that IGT can then be the one that oversees the implementation of the contract. As the department pays IGT, there are what is being provided to the department that says such amount of work is done. So therefore, we need you to pay so that we are then in a position to pay the contractor who is saying that he needs that money to implement what you have set out to do. And I think that is very clear in the agreement itself. There are tranches according to which payments have to be done to IGT. And that agreement, Chairperson, I think at a point in time has been provided to members. And maybe members, if there is still clarity that is needed, that it can be provided and we give specific responses. Because in our preparation, we thought that it is for us to indicate or clarify issues that we thought that would be asked and not the one that is put to us to say why did we pay 62%, other than to say it is what is contained in the contract itself. To say in how many tranches the payments are to be done and to what magnitude that should be paid to IGT. Now, there is this important understanding that IGT is the instance in this regard that would then oversee the fact that the service provider delivers on the respective time frames that are agreed to. But correctional services would still be the department that is overall responsible for this contract. I don't know, Chairperson, where I've responded correctly to the question, but that is what I understand as contained in the contract.
Oh, wow. The question is very simple. You cannot use taxpayers' money to buy something that you don't have. It's as simple as all that. You cannot use taxpayers' money to buy something you do not have. Unless you think to us that you have done 60% of the contract, you are in default. I don't care which way you look at it. I want to remind you, Mr. Smallberger, that when this thing was raised in Good Hope Chambers, I said to DCS, it's your choice if you want to outsource your business. But this committee will not outsource its oversight. If you want to outsource it, that's your choice. We will not outsource oversight. 60% of that 400 million rand has been given to somebody. The question I'm asking you is 60% of that job be done, because we know exactly where they are. That's the question that Mr. Makabula is asking. And it's fine, you've given us the answer, we will comment later on, because I don't want to get into a dialogue. Let's ask them yourself. But when you were saying you didn't know what it was, I'm just clarifying what the question was. And I think it's a valid question. Mr. Sell.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd really like to ask three specific questions. In the presentation, there is an implementation agent, which is in a sense a consultant to whom you've outsourced the responsibility of managing this program. And then there's another consultant, Bakorne Sekevek consultant. May we know what that consultant does or did? What functions does that consultant fulfill? How much would that consultant pay for what services rendered? Secondly, I understood originally that the program of fence construction would be any more than the 8 centers that are mentioned in the presentation. Is it only to be rolled out at 8 centers, or is this phase one of a further program? And thirdly, I noticed that amongst the centres at which services are to be delivered are also services at which a previous contractor provided services in specific homes. So what was wrong with the centres that were supplied by the previous contractor that now need to be upgraded or replaced, whatever the case might be, by this contract? Thank you.
What Mr. South is asking, and I must want you to paraphrase it, I want to put it in so that you get shocked to your bone when I make the decision that I'm going to make later and propose to the House. You said, Mr. Modi, that IEDT is the same as public works. In this case, IEDT gets 4% management fee. 4% management fee, Mr. South, just for IEDT is 19 million rand. And they do nothing. What they do is go and get another consultant. We've come from Scopa last week, where we thought about consultants managing consultants in this department. We now pay somebody for 90 million rand, and all he does is go and get Sekarek, who gets paid as part of 37 million rand. This contractor has been paid 37 million rand in this thing. Now, I'm not sure if it's all gone to Sekarek or part of it. Last week we spoke about contractors managing contractors. You come to this committee today and say to us you've got contractors managing committees. I mean contractors managing contractors. We cannot but say to you that there's going to be serious repercussions for this matter. I think that's the question Mr. Scott is asking. What is the value add for having Sekarek and having IEDT? What is the value add of doing Paul Small by Air Zulu last year and doing it by SA Facing this year and others, Mr. South. We want to ask you those specific questions so that you understand that there are problems on your way on these matters. Can you answer those questions and we will then take the next two. Mr. Makakula's question I think was responded to, Mr. South's question, then it will go to Mr. Abram. These are other questions that Mr. South and them are raising. I think we're going to go to the specifics so that you guys don't please our time.
Chairperson, I think it would be proper for me to provide the committee with a written report in this regard because some of the information that the committee is requesting me here, I do not have. And it would not be good for me to give
that's fine. That I don't have. No, that's fine. Let's see if you are going to make a proposal just now. Do you have a question, Ms. Abra?
Yes, that question. I just want to firstly preface it and say that I was told at one of the centers that I visited that the security system that was installed there has not been functional, it's obsolete. So I'm just asking, Chair, that if any of the kind of report that we get, and what we are doing here, sir, is that there is a global contract for a variety of centers, unless it is for all centers, I don't know, all 242. Now, there should be a center-specific presentation, sir.
Let's help you, sir. There are center-specific. You look at the program.
Yes.
Have you got the document?
No, I just wasn't asking.
Okay, so it says program and booklet, it gives you Mtata facility, it gives you Harrisburg facility and so on. So it does give you the specific, and it's not necessary for 24. But it does give it to you. Maybe you should allow you time to study one or two of them so then you can ask your questions, which might be valid. But it does give you the specifics towards the end of the program. I'm going to do you have the question. We'll come back to you, Ms.
Abra. Okay, thank
you. Thank you, Jefferson. First, I would like to comment, Chair, on the security. And I'm still on home bench, Chairperson. At center, Chair, it shows that there's no presence. Because the pole that we hold there is the pole that is old. say no of Lumofile, and I propose Chapade that Kunpens also need to get a fencing that is protecting our community, because there the image is not challenging. I wouldn't bend that. Secondly, Chapade, when we talk about security, I think that it's not enough for us to talk only about the distancing.
We are going to get to our next agenda, our next item, talk to this one is specific on the IDP. Can we help you put on hold until those come? Because we're going to continue the specific IDP. This is the first one we talk about, the general plan. Unless it is related to this document that we received.
I'm on this document, okay. In this document, Chairperson, there's no number.
Yes,
sir. But there's a technical document which talks about CCTV. Yes. Then, Chairperson, I want to ask a question from the department. That in terms of this CCTV camera, how far is that a progress? And two, some of the centers like WebView, where there was computers that they were searching with technology and security. When you pass, then you somebody see you like a TV. Then we find that is not working effectively. I want to know from the department, or it still stands there, because I believe that those equipment was paid, and the campaign of the contract that it was using we find that is not working. So I want to know, Chairperson, that did they repair it, or it's still closing as we found it last year when we go for oversight? If it's not working, I believe that we are wasting money by putting system like those, and after that, there's nothing we are doing about it. Thank you.
Right. Two specific questions. The CCTV, Mangwenya, maybe you must clarify, the CCTV cameras that they're talking about are not in the south. These are CCTV cameras on the fence. So we might be confused. These are they're talking about here. Cameras that are on the fence and not in the cell. But maybe you want to respond to those questions. The CCTV cameras, how far are you? And the, I guess it's the access control type of.
Chairperson, thank you very much. To respond to the question that was put to us by Mr. Abram, there are some of the security installations, especially with regard to access control, that are not working because of the software that needs to be put in, because the software that was had its time. So the Department of Correctional Services is working with our own GDO to establish how we can refurbish those 10 cells and access control to ensure that the systems that are put there are again made functional. There is a project that is currently underway, and I do not have the specific as to when that should be done.
All right.
And with regard to the fences, Chairperson, all fences have a lifetime, a time frame that after such a time, because of the rains and the elements, then they rust. So an assessment, an evaluation was done on all the fences in the country. And the ones that are currently being changed are the ones that have been prioritized. Content and other correctional facilities like Wesley are also in line when the other phase of the fences comes into operation. So at this point in time, Hunvent, much as we do have challenges there, we did not have it in the first phase. I think Hunvent should be somewhere in the second phase so that we can then replace that fence. Because as the Member of Parliament correctly mentioned, Jefferson, the fence at Hunvent is actually something that is not there. You can just push it with, with your hand and it can fall off. That's the state in which the codes are. The computers of Wendville, which were, I mean, the cameras, Jefferson, I'm sorry, that were put on the tower fence, because between the fences there are these ice cameras that are put up there. Work has been done on them, but there are some glitches that from time to time happen on the cameras. The management of the KwaZulu-Natal Regional Commissioner and the team also have raised this concern that that fence needs to be replaced with a new fence, including all the equipment that is there. That has also been prioritized to be some of the centers in the second phase that must have a new fence. The fences there are really not front and back as they are supposed to be. Thank you, Chair.
Any more questions for anybody? New plans will come back to you. I'm not sure. I promised you, Mr. Abram, but without any new plans. If not, let's say Abram and then you'll come back.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, those security systems that Mr. Morisha responded to, which I said was dysfunctional. Is it as a result of poor workmanship by the contractor?
Please give us the center you're talking about. Which center are you talking about?
Chairperson, at Boxburg. I was told they haven't been operational. Is it as a result of poor workmanship? Or is it just the normal wear and tear that has caused it? And also, if you, Mr. Morisha, can tell us when were those systems installed? Now, Chairperson, I note here, with regard to this presentation, that there are eight centers at the back, as you asked me to look at. Are we now saying that it has cost us, well, the contract is 500 million roughly, for eight centers? Then the question arises, and I'm responding to what Mr. Morisha said, that these fences over a period of time become dysfunctional as a result of wear and tear, especially if these are perhaps wire fences, which I think they are, the way I've seen it here. Now, Chairperson, did the department do a cost-benefit analysis as to whether it would have been prudent to build permanent, say, brick-and-mortar fences, or that this sort of arrangement was acceptable? Because, all right, it depends upon the terrain there. But if there are eight centers, and those eight centers has cost you 500 million, it's very close to 80 million, eight times seven is 56. So, all right, we're talking of 560 million. Very close to 70 million per center. Now, Chairperson,
don't justify. The question is it worth 70 million per center? I think that's the point you're trying to
make. My point is that we are willing to spend on a fence which will have to be reconstructed after a certain number of years. and we are paying approximately close to 70 million rand. Of course, it depends on the sizes in each particular case, but on average, that's what we are paying. I can tell you, Jagas Dom, but Rasta, you can build a permanent brick and mortar fence, even triple bricks, not double. Or you can even do it in concrete for far lesser than that kind of money, Chair. That's what worries me. Are we getting value for money?
You make life very difficult for me when I'm Chair, because you ask the question and then you respond to that question. You should be saying, you don't think it works, and leave them to respond. Because when you ask and then you say this is it, you in fact take away what they are asking for. The point I'm making is I think we must make these people comment, because we take minutes of it. But when we ask the question and respond to it, there's nothing that we can hold them to. The question Mr. Abraham is asking, is it value for money to spend 80 million rand per cent? That's the question he's asking, and please answer that question together with other questions.
70,
no, that's what I'm saying, yes. I'm saying we're doing our sums, but 70 million rand per cent is its value for money. Because that's the calculation he gets if you're only looking at 8 centers. Mr. South, you indicate your
graph. Very nice. Very quick question. It goes back again to consultants' cost. In the financial information page, there is estimated consultant fees for DCSSFO2C0001 of 25.6 million rand. Then there's estimated consultant fees for DCSFO2C00002 of about 11 million rand, 11.6 million rand. My understanding is that the first contract was discontinued, was cancelled. Can the department please tell us what the 25.6 million rand was spent on for a cancelled contract?
Robert? Chairperson, thank you very much again for the opportunity. I think the question put by the Honorable Abram, feasibility as to whether brick and mortar as opposed to fence, I think the department shall have to respond to that properly in writing as to whether there has been a feasibility or whether the comparison has been done. And then the box back itself, Chairperson, what I earlier said was that the software that makes the turnstile and the registration work is updated and no longer working because of it having reached its lifetime and had to be replaced as a matter of agency so as to enable us to utilize the turnstiles and the registration biometric system that goes with that. And that's not only with regards to Boxback, but all of the facilities that we have as the turnstiles and the biometric system was put up in 2006. And as a result of that, Chairperson, there is a need to replace your systems periodically, and we have to do that. Coming to the question that the Honorable Self is asking as to the consulting cost and also about the cancelled tender, I think, Chairperson, I do not have that information at hand now. I think we will provide a written response to the committee to the questions that the Honorable Self has put to us. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you.
Chairperson,
I think we don't need the return report. We need the department to come and account. We need this thing to be cleared off. We can't leave this thing hanging. We'll be playing. This is the problem. Maybe this will tell us more. We can't allow such amount to be paid before the person did anything. It is very clear, Jefferson, that these contractors, they've been paid without doing anything in the site. It's very clear. Because you check the date of awarded, and then you check the date of payment. You'll find that, no, That was a rush. The contractor was needed, but someone, somewhere, was in the need of money. And we need to be told, I think the Department of Disregard will need the Department of Correctional Services and the ITD to come and account. And then if the ITC is the consultant, why they employ another consultant? Really, there is something fish on this account. We can't just keep quiet. It's a taxpayer's money we are here for. Let the department come and account. I bear with you, Chair, when you say before, we can allow the department to come with the people who are acting. Because really, on this account, we didn't get the enough response. They're still going to check. We need the people who can come and account about this money, taxpayer money. We need the department to account. And check us and read. You can't pay. From the experience that I'm having in the construction, if you pay me more than 60%, why did you do even a quarter of work? Do you think or do you trust that I'm going to finish the work? I won't. So really, this is the problem. I think we have to dig more on this. We're going to realize what is the real problem. Who was after this whole scam of money of the taxpayer that has been played here? I tell you, Chair.
No, it's fine. I think Mr. Smallberger, that's why we said earlier on that it's a pity that you guys didn't take this meeting seriously, especially when we had isolated issues. We are going to call the CEO of IDG. I'm looking at this tender that is here. Not the tender, the document that you signed. There's a Mr. Stephen Somboy. On the agreement, and to me, you know, I'm understanding him to be regional operations manager, Stephen Nsadeni, and then the CEO. Are you going to call them so that they can explain to us how? You see, if you look at this tender here, I'm just trying to give you a sense, we're not going to write to you, so you better be taking out. We will not write anything, we will call you guys. You have paid, and I just want to bring this to the attention of the members. We have paid consultants 37 million rand. We've paid consultants 37 million rand. They're going to come and explain, and I'm assuming that they have paid it at IEDG. They're going to come and explain to us who those consultants are. And what did those consultants do? That we paid 87 million rand. They're going to come and explain to us why must we give them 4 million, 19 million rand for their service level agreement, for their management fee. We're going to ask, as Mr. Makakula and Mr. Charles is saying, why do there seem to be such a haste in paying people? You come to us, Mr. CEO, National Commissioner Acting, and even before you say anything, you say to us, you know what, chances are this contract is going to be extended. Bear in mind that we almost killed you for extending Kimberley, extending Quadrangdor, extending Sears, and you come to us with a 100 million or 400 million rand contract. And even before you start, you're saying to us, look, the expected completion date is September, when the original completion date was supposed to be April 2013. You're already coming to us and saying you failed. You're not taking this committee seriously. I don't think you're taking this. You cannot have a situation where you plan for failure. You go into a contract with somebody and say it's okay if you extend it by so long, and expect the committee and expect the taxpayers to continue to give you leeway to do it. It's not going to happen. So we're going to call
the IDG, we are going to call you back. I also want to call, so that we record it. You see, comrade, this department has a unit that is supposed to look at this thing. Mr. Van Harte, Wendy Basson, and Paul Dupree. We pay these people money to do this type of thing. What do? They take our money, taxpayers, as a salary. They then hand over this thing to IET. What does IET do? It takes our money as taxpayers, it hands it over to SecuLexit, Mr. Self is talking about. It's such a money-making scam. Why are we paying? And I want them to come with you guys. Willie Brownman's and Paul Dupree, and I have a specific reason why I want them to be here, and we'll reveal it when they're here. What is Willie Brownman and Paul Dupree doing in your department? Why are we paying them? Why is IDT being paid? That's why we want IDT to be here when we have this interaction. Why are we paying them 90 million rand? And who are the contractors that they've consulted that they paid 37 million rand to without the job being completed? So together with Cindy, we're going to find an appropriate time. Where we're going to sit and deal with this matter. And let this be a lesson that it's going to be the same thing when it comes to the nutrition contract. We're going to go through it with a fine tooth comb, and we will have the same type of interaction if we have questions to be asking. Let this be the lesson that we will learn. So I don't think we must interrogate this further. We will find a time where we'll call all these parties together, and the questions that you're raising, members, can be answered to them, including why are we paying members of DPW if they just consult all the time? Why are we paying them? And raising specifically those that are your supposed to be security people like Mr. Raman, Mr. Dupree, and Mr. Van Aken. We will let you know. Cindy, you will get the details of the IDT people so that when we invite the department, we invite them directly to answer these type of questions. Can we move on? All right. This is Mrs. Nguyen's point. We asked you to talk to us about the investigations or the security matters. And this is where Mr. Modida, you said you then talk to the gang strategy that Nguyen, and I know that Mr. Max is always asking about. And we have specifically highlighted incidents that took place between 2010 and 2013, and if memory serves me correctly, Cindy Lester would have given the specific that we're talking about. I think it was a case in Durban, Westville. I think it was Mangaung, it was Free State, Escape, and so on. Over to you, Mr. Modisa. And I'm sure we've got the document. Now, before I even hand over to Mr. Modisa, maybe it's better we do it that way. Remember not to get straight into questions because you have the document. The purpose of having the document is to get into questions. Oh, would you like Ms. Modi said to give us a summary of what is in the document? I'm looking at members. Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, the recommendation given in this document is nothing. If I go,
I... The question that I'm asking you is, do we want them to give us somebody, or are you suggesting we get straight into the document?
No, we don't, because this document is
sending alone. No, that's fine. All right, members have got the document before them? Yes? And then, of course, after that, Gwena, you can ask those specific questions that I said we'll shelve until we get to now. Over to you, ma'am.
Chair, this document is just giving us what we were crying out all this time. If you go to the page 4 of this, it gives you a recommendation that the inspection procedures and security awareness of people in this regard need to be relooked. We can't say that at this age and time of democracy. How did we hire, evaluate, recommend, and pay officials, security officials? These are police officers that need to be made aware, and we might need a...
Sorry, before you continue, you know we have overrun, and we've got one or two items, and we've already given away when somebody else. I'm just bringing it to your attention, because the President answered that too. in the house, and there's no way that it can be laid. I'm just wondering, and I'm looking at everybody, can we agree that I want that in Omagans and we leave? Could we give us literally 15 minutes to get into the house? Is that okay? I'm looking at them.
Let's go to this one and I leave the other. Because
here is
nothing new here.
All right. Anybody else want to raise questions on this one?
I didn't know.
Yes, that's why I want to get to raise questions on this one. You know, you had, yeah, okay. Mom Gwenya's question really was, and I'm hoping it's covered in here. If it's not covered in here, you need to answer this question at some point. The gang, instead of the gang management strategy, basically. I know Max has been asking that question. I think that's from Brenner's question. Are the gangs going up or going down? I can tell you, again, just for your own comments, Mr. Molise, this weekend I was informed that the Durban Westville at 8:30 at night, people were drinking Hennessy whiskey. I can give you the names of inmates who have got these walkers. You know these walkers? In other words, some of us can't own DSTV at Urban West where people are watching DSTV on the walkers. And we'll give you the names of the people that are doing that. At Johannesburg Central, Mr. McGuinn, at Joburg Central, not Johannesburg Central, at Johannesburg Prison, people get paid by money market. You go to Checkers, you know the money market, I go and I pay 10 rand, somebody goes and collects the money in Urban West, I mean, that side in Joburg. Gives it to your officials, Mr. Molise, to say, look, I'm giving you this money, go and collect it there, look after my child, or look after my brother, or look after my whoever. At Johannesburg, and I said this to Mangweni and to other people, inmates in a waiting trial are planning elimination of their enemies from inside. And they send somebody, I'm raising it with you so that you understand, like from Westbury where there's probably more gangsters than anybody else. On their release, they, as the gang leader, I say to you, go and deal with Mr. X who's my enemy. That person on his release goes to Mr. X and Mr. X is stronger than him, so he can't do it. He comes back. And he said, no, Mr. X is beating me. What did he say? Go and frame Mr. X so that he can come into prison. Because you can't deal with him outside. Go and frame him so that he can come here and we can deal with him. We'll give you the name of the offender and the name of the victim. We're talking specifically, we're not talking anymore. And I think that's the point Mangwenya is making. That we have to have a gang management strategy. When people from outside frame you, so they can come inside, because then we're going to deal with you in a waiting trial. Now that's how serious these matters are. So we're going to have to have a discussion on this gang management strategy that Mr. Max has been trying for all along, because it's going to be the downfall of many of our people. And it's not like you don't know, some of us come from those communities. We'll give you names, numbers, cell phone numbers, and the people that we're going to ask you to transfer to Cockstead, because they're creating problems at Johannesburg. We're going to ask you to send them to Cockstead, some of them, because we are aware of what. Who they are. But we will do that. We are late. There are two specific issues that we wanted you guys to resolve. Mr. Max will again, very briefly, Mr. Max, just bring us up to speed and the department, and this is what your response. We will raise it this morning. Mr. Max.
Thanks, Chairperson. With regard to St. Albans.
Sorry.
With regard to St. Albans, the information is that there was that now regular stabbings of personnel. Personnel being stabbed by inmates on a regular basis. And as a result of those stabbings, because that stabbings, there's a direct link between them and the 7-day establishment, which causes, as we indicated already for 2 more years, they're definitely not working because it makes officials vulnerable to attacks because there's insufficient certain times, there's insufficient personnel. And the delegates is a meeting, that is the information which I received. with the regional commission with the breakfast. But the breakfast, then they did jump, what is his name, the area commissioner there, to talk to the officials about their concern about safety. He allegedly refused to attend today. There's 150 of them, plus minus, then walk to his office. And as a result, they were suspended. 99 was apparently identified and suspended. But he left apparently the St. Albans Correctional Services almost empty with regard to officials. Then they imported from other regions and from other places people to substitute those. But they obviously decided and found that this thing is not going to work and they are busy reinstating now the guys. So, one of the members was so traumatized and as a result he died yesterday. We said with this situation, if true, I'm saying if true, is it correct if you say no, that somebody is lying? So be careful what you are saying here, because if I fly down to determine what is going on, and you say there's nothing happening of this nature there, then you lie to Parliament. So the situation is serious. We've got a similar situation in Kimberley. We are still awaiting that feedback from that investigation. The area or regional commission indicated it's finalized, and the question, the answer on my question which I received from the minister, is that you people are busy finalizing it. So, and there's other areas like Westville personnel is disillusioned. Even when we go to Groenpunt, the personnel said they are disillusioned. Now, what is management doing about the thing? You know, you've got that thing there. 2013 is the year of the official. And that's what you people meant, how you treat your officials like that. You know, you can't put something like that in the public. If you go to grassroots level, there's no chance. I mean, I'm pleading and I'm fighting with you people since I started 2 years plus here for the same thing. And some of you were absent, not appointed here. And I said it, and I said it again. I'm saying it again. That you only care about your own welfare as a top management. You don't care for these people at grassroots level. And our organization is as good as you treat your people. And I'm not saying what they all say is true. But it cannot be that there's a general feeling, a generic complaint, that they are not being listened to and not be treated accordingly. The second point is, as it relates also to the 2008 second group payments and stuff which members are still waiting. None has been transferred. Awards is won now in the arbitration as well as in the labor court against the department. Everything has been taken for review. So this department is managed by awards and court reviews. And look by management. And that is an indictment. People cannot sit here proudly and tell us all these wonderful things. And at grassroots level, there's a revolution. We cannot do that. So, my request this morning was, or my question to the chairperson, is he or other members of the committee aware of the situation at the Albans? So, and he requested me to put it to Mr. Salzberger, the relevant CDC is present. We would like to hear what is the situation, what is the truth there, and what is the situation with this. You were supposed to have a feedback from your task team organized labor on the 15th of March with all the labor-related issues. And that report was due to management on the 15th of March. Did you receive that as well? Thanks.
It's okay, a very, very few here. Some of what is coming in St. Albans and has other question really are running out of time. There's still one more issue to deal with.
Chairperson, thanks. I perhaps would just take back the comment to an earlier agreement that we'll perhaps just have a day to deal with HR budget. But very briefly, the weather suspensions at St. Albans, and those suspensions were occasioned
by an illegal act on the part of employees, who then rushed. That action can only be described as a form of an industrial action, because if you have a structure locally where members, it can't be that 120 officials would demand to meet with management when they've got representatives. That is unprecedented. It's something that doesn't happen. That also takes place in the background of a ministerial task team. Now, this is what I indicated to PSA as well. Say, we have set up a ministerial task team that is dealing, amongst others, with the issue that the members were marching for. That's in Albert. Now, the question is, are we then dealing with this thing with a gun to our head, where on one side we would be talking and registering progress as members of the committee, which I will quickly go to. But on the floor, you then have people there marching. So the question is, this whole thing then questions the whole legitimacy of the ministerial subsidy. And what has currently taken place is that those members are being reinstated on the basis that they are charges that they are facing. So that is the current status as far as that is concerned. And the members of PSA who were sitting in the task team, when we were made aware of what was transpiring, I did call them to question. They said, you are insisting that your members have a right to do this thing. But you must also be careful that as they have a right to do this thing, management equally has a right to respond. Because if you then allow members to march, all 121 of them, to march to an area commissioner's office demanding to meet them, the question is, what happens to the current structure that are in place? And two, what then are you setting in precedent? But the other union can then say, well, if this is how management keep quiet when people are marching in the center, in the same process, abandoning their posts, then what is the other union going to do, Chairperson? They will simply follow suit, and we would have no leg to stand on at some point. So I'm saying that there is a process that the minister has established to deal with these things. Chairperson, very quickly, the ministerial task team has indeed met 3 times. You would also recall that when we came here initially with the former CDC corporate, we indicated that there were certain things that we were to put in place to try and deal with the outstanding matter. One of them was to go back to DPSA and say some of the things that you were party to the agreement are not working, and can we work together and see how we can unlock them. One of them is the issue of the ELRC, where we have met a DPSA led by the DDG General Kumbula Ndaba. They have given us a draft copy of which proposes how a data within DCF.
Otherwise, this will be fired. Yes. Well,
yes. So that matter is currently being tabled. Chairperson, we have paid phase one. The memo as far as phase two of 2008 is en route. The issue around Kimberley still stands in that.
No, don't talk about Kimberley. We just worry about St. Albans. If you guys have it under control, it's
fine. It is under control.
And also, we support you. I mean, we've said to everybody, exhaust the internal processes before you do anything else. So, if there is indeed a process that's being unfolded and people are marching, then we have to contain it. Then we have to contain it. So, that one is fine. We really like Ms. President Rothman. Please, I don't know if you have all the information. If you don't have all the information, talk to Cindy. Can you come back to us and give us what's happening on that? If you have the information there, you've got 2 seconds to do it. And then finally, I don't know who, I would assume it's you, Mr. Smallberger, as direct access to Mr. Lennon. We would want to get information about Vickers. And you know, quite honestly, I'm never going to write to a regional manager again begging them for information. And they can't even acknowledge the receipt. We're not going to do that. We've written 2 letters. We don't even get acknowledgement from the RC that the matter has been worked on. I don't think we're going to do that again. So please, can you just give us an update on what... We're not saying it's right or wrong, but we need an update so that it can be taken to Mr. Pretorius and be told, this is the procedure, Mr. Pretoria. He calls us every other day. I'm not sure if you want to answer, ma'am. Do you want to answer? Yes. Go ahead. And then we'll allow you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. I don't have the information of what the complaint is specifically, but I can give the committee an update on the person that you are particularly talking about, the inmate at our facility. Temelise, who has been with us for 5 years and 3 months, she was first admitted in November 2007. Now, the committee will appreciate that obviously we are simply receiving people that are coming from the court, and all we can ask from the court is to say when we have somebody awaiting trial that long, what are the reasons? And the court has provided us with a number of reasons. They range from constant changing of attorneys over the first 2 years, but are also related to issues of interpreters at court. From a DCS perspective, we are obviously focusing on the implementation of Section 49G of the Act to say we refer people who are with us for 3 years and longer. So we are in the process of analysing why people are with us for such long periods of time. And in this case in particular, there are five accused in this case, all of which are not on bail and in our detention facilities. The case being heard at the regional court in Johannesburg, and if we look at our numbers over 2 years, the regional court Johannesburg of the 2,000-odd cases that we had carries about 214. So we know that there is quite a delay at that court, and we do discuss within the class as well when we have these issues that they can take them up with those specific courts and see how they address those backlogs.
Well, it helps us because, I mean, our information was there were five and she's the only one and she's there for 7 years. We are now able to, and we'd appeal to you guys also to talk to your constituency in terms of why are they there for so long. On this particular one, can you go directly back to the inmate? Cindy will probably get hold of the originator of the query because it came from a relative to be able to give them that type of feedback. But once you've crafted a response, please give it to Cindy so that she can update people accordingly. And of course, we're asking you guys that legally just to assist us in the process of, because people become very frustrated, and half the time, Cindy's become post office. Very busy, I want to give Mr. Wayne the last.
Yeah. In terms of your request about this certain tourist, I'll take it upon myself and we'll respond in the next day or two to Cindy. Thank you, Chair.
Can I say something?
Sir, if I keep long away. Although,
yeah, Chair, just in case that we await the communication from Cindy, we are actually tied to identify who the email is, and we'll go from our response.
Thank you so much. Mongre, and then we have to run.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the settlement of the investigation got a serious funding aside.
Serious
funding? Yes, and I feel, Chair, that there was not enough time for us to engage on it. How like us, Chair, when we get back also, we need to engage on this thing, on this situation. Because Chairperson, really, there's a lot that need to be fixed by the department. Yeah, we want to assist the department, and our country is not safe, Chairperson, if we are going to have an inmate that is over control our own members, having kids, killing them, and all that. People outside, if they haven't got this treatment, don't see that they are not safe. If Amabanjo, who is Amabanjo, a controller, Amawat inside. Also, the union also needs to assist on this. Two, Chairperson, let us get a clear vote on our members in terms of vetting. Because some of the findings that are here, Chair,
shocking. All right. I think on Gwenya's point, Mr. Modise, let this report be the basis, but we don't want to talk on these specific ones. These were the ones that you came to talk about. Let's just talk about our strategy around security in our facilities. That will be the discussion. This will be part of it, but it's broader than just these three or four incidents. It's just about security, gang management, collusion, that our officials clearly are involved with, and those type of things. We will sit down a time where we just have that discussion. We will sit down a time where we're going to discuss the IDT matter. We'll sit down a time where we discuss the nutrition matter going forward. We'll also sit down a time amongst ourselves to say exactly what it is that we'd like you guys when you come for your quarterly, so that you're not in a situation where you don't know what we want. We'll be able to say, look, this is how we want to do it. Thank you very much. This is the last interaction for this quarter. Next quarter we meet you guys, and of course then we're getting into the budget process. So it's the head plan, it's your annual performance plan and all those things. We will see you there and then get into the business of the day. But in between, we will try and sneak in some of these that are very important matters. Thank you very much, our guys at Legal Aid. We'll also at some point maybe just call you guys if it doesn't have any interaction. We do have stakeholder engagements. Cindy, you might want to invite them. I don't know if you do, but normally when we deal with the budget for the department, the strat plan for the department, we invite all sorts of stakeholders. Maybe you should also be invited, because how much they get and how they plan affects you directly. We'll put you on our list so that I know you belong to justice, but you're certainly a key stakeholder in our area, and you can come and help us and value today our plan. Meeting is adjourned. We go to the president at 2 o'clock, and we again meet another president at 2 o'clock, I think. And then we meet sometime early February. All right. Makwenya and early April. Mom Grenier and Mr. Self, please give Cindy the information she requires. Is that okay?
But this one is true. I would say you see that happening.